Before we get into Outwit, Outplay, Outlist, talking about the most memorable Survivor voting confessionals of all time, I'm going to take a moment and thank a sponsor for this episode of the podcast. Those are our friends over at Skills, Skills with a Z. Look, I know a lot of people are listening to this podcast on their phone, playing a game at the same time. If only there was a way that you could be playing your favorite mobile games and winning money and prizes. That's what you and the other listeners of Rob as a Podcast could be doing at skillswithaz.com/RHAP. That's Skills with a Z. Skills makes it super easy to get started, and they have games for everybody. Classics like Solitaire Cube and 21 Blitz. Games like Blackout Bingo. There's one game in particular that I really like called Block Blitz that reminds me very much of a game that used to come with my Game Boy that was about stacking bricks from Russia. And, of course, lots of other fun ones. It's fair because you're matched up against players that are at your skill level. Beginners play beginners, experts play experts. Play for free against me, friends, listeners, coworkers. Play to win serious cash or amazing prizes, even cars. It's totally legit, and players have won over $2 billion. Have more fun playing the games you love and win some extra cash. Go to skillswithaz.com/RHAP. That's skillswithaz.com/RHAP. Must be 18 or older. Terms and conditions apply, not available in all states. Prizes may vary. Winning is not guaranteed. See website for details. Hey everybody, what's going on? I am Rob Cesternino, and we are back once again for Outwit, Outplay, Outlist, a show where we take a look at the most reductive and arbitrary things in the history of Survivor. And today, we will be taking a look at the greatest voting confessionals, the most memorable voting confessionals of all time, and putting them into a four-tiered list with a great panel, of course, back with me once again. That he is the man behind Outwit, Outplay, Outlist. Please welcome back. Give it up for Mr. Mike Bloom.
So happy to be here, Rob. If you don't mind, I'd like to take care of just a bit of business up top here. Survivor Devil, I know you're my sugar daddy, but this is not going to be such a sweet ending.
What does it say? So Mike is holding up a parchment. So Survivor Devil, and what does it say underneath? Mom.
So this is this is a fun story. So this is
the Survivor Devil is your mom.
This is an actual parchment from the Survivor set. When I got to go visit Tribal Council when I was there preseason, I got to go up to the booth, up those flights of stairs that many contestants have once upon a time, and cast a vote on the parchment. And obviously the Survivor Devil is inextricably linked to my fate in Survivor, as is apparent in the Rob Has a Podcast store, where you can get many great merchandise based on the Survivor Devil. And the mom in parentheses is a call out to the great Sierra Easton. So I voted out my own mom in that perspective.
And no, you're not making any comparison to the person that you... Yeah.
No. What am I, Shambo? No.
Yeah. Okay. Bloom, thanks for the shout out. Always appreciate it. Love you, bae. Okay. Well,
no, there's nothing to... I guess it, maybe it's... Is that when I vote out the Survivor Devil, he's a good game. Really appreciate the move.
You were voting for me for the winner just now, so I just won.
Oh, Mike, the one vote for the Survivor Devil to win.
No. Wait, hold on. Wait. Oh, no. I forgot to tell you, my middle name is Topaz. Yes.
Okay. We are so blessed here today to be joined by the co-host of the RHAP B&B. You get to hear these two together every week during the Survivor season. Please welcome back the great Liana Boris. Liana, how are you?
Doing fabulous. It is the holiday season, and this is the best gift anyone could ask for, to be here talking about something incredibly arbitrary and reductive. Right up my alley.
Yes.
Right up Mike Bloom's alley. And I think we can get into some real nonsense today.
Yeah, so fun. I'm really so excited when Mike said, I'm going to reach out to Liana. I said, oh, well, that would be a dream. If we could get Mike and Liana to do Outwit, Outplay, Outlist with us, that would be super exciting. And now here we are. So very excited to dig into voting confessionals, perhaps the most serious subject that we've talked about so far on Outwit, Outplay, Outlist. We've talked about hats. We've talked about sponsorships. We talked about the aesthetics of the immunity necklace. Yes.
So also, I mean, that being said, you know, what we're focusing on today, of course, are memorable words that are said within the Survivor voting booth. I mean, going on, I think, 3 years, Rob, you and I did a podcast about the best final words that contestants said after they were voted out. And this is sort of the nice spiritual sequel. It was a little bit of time in gestation, but we found the proper venue to do so.
Like,
I mean,
elephant.
To your point, you know, we're going to be talking through some things that, while it's maybe a more of a serious subject than the aesthetic of hats that Survivor players wear, I mean, there's going to be a lot of humor in this. Some of the most memorable voting confessionals in Survivor history are ones that are funny, that are shady, that are particularly insulting, and that make a big impact in the game. And I'm going to go so far as to say, I think this is going to be our hardest ranking yet. Because I admit, you know, I take the word memorable very literally sometimes, mm-hmm. and I throw in maybe some clunkers in there, a Marshalls for every Outback Steakhouse, if you will. But I do feel like all of these are gold in their own right. So really, we're just going to have to be like these jewelry endorsers and just look at like what grade diamond is slightly better than the other one.
This is the uncut gems of Outwit Outplay list.
This is how we win.
Okay. All right. Liana, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. It's been a little bit of reprieve from doing sort of the intense podcasting, especially from, I was going to say science, but from Survivor. Mm-hmm. And I just am mentally and also preparing my rankings for the massive endeavor that you're going to take on, Rob, in 2021, where you're going to be talking about ranking all the Survivor seasons. And I feel like this is the perfect way to really start getting back into that, getting the Survivor juices flowing, and really, sorry, I don't know, it's Mike's fault, and talk about all of this. I love Survivor so much, and I think there are a lot of memorable moments, especially those in the voting confessionals. And I think Mike, I assume, has picked a fabulous list for us to talk
Leon,
about.
I'm glad you brought up the season rankings poll. We haven't talked about it too much on the podcast yet, but if you missed it and you just listened to the podcast, aren't as active on social media, we have a brand new thing that we're putting together for 2021. We are going to rank all 40 seasons of Survivor, and we need your help. We have a poll up, a North Pole for this time of the year at robhasawebsite.com/top40poll. We are asking you to go through and rank each season in the order you think it is good, from best number one to worst number 40. I have heard this is not easy to do on your mobile device. Sit down, have a cup of coffee, glass of wine, look it over, go through it. We're asking you to put some thought into this. And then we are going to put everything together. You have until December 23rd to be able to tell us which seasons are on the nice list and which seasons are on the naughty list. And we are going to start in the first week of January. We're going to go week by week from 40 all the way to 1. Potentially, that takes us to the end of September. That seems like a time when maybe we might be seeing U.S. Survivor return. Think of it, maybe it's a little bit of like a countdown clock to when Survivor is going to come back, potentially. 40 weeks.
Descending so slowly.
So slow.
In a fun way.
We're going to do a weekly podcast every week. I'm going to be with a panel every single week to go through the season from 40. And then at the end of the show, we'll tell you what season is coming up next. If you want to watch ahead, if you want to send in questions. And then we'll also do a weekly poll where we'll do a bunch of superlatives and talk about getting the fan rankings and the fan vote on a bunch of different things. Best episode, MVP, all these things, underrated players and all that stuff. That's going to be starting off in 2021. But first, we need you to go to robhasawebsite.com/top40poll for that. Okay. That's what's coming up on into 2021. All right. So let's see. How do you want to kick off this discussion? Of course, make sure you subscribe to the podcast, robhasawebsite.com/iTunes, to make sure you don't miss anything.
Well, I guess to start it off, I would love to hear, because, you know, with these podcasts, we sort of figure out the criteria as we go along here. I mean, I would love to hear from you all, in your opinion, what makes a good voting confessional? You know, is there something that they have in common that assumingly you are going to be trying to look for when you determine the best of the best today?
Mm-hmm. I think part of determining the criteria is a little tough when you haven't seen the whole list, although that does make it very exciting. But for me, the first thing that stands out is, can I remember this confessional? Is this something that I needed to hear the audio to jog my memory? Because I can already think of a few that I could probably name. And if that one's on the list for me, then that automatically makes it at least in the first or second tier. And so I think that memorability has to be part of it.
Yeah. And I think memorability is not just like after you watch the episode, but I think memorability is really what stands the test of time in terms right. of like that there are some of these confessionals that we'll talk about that you remember from many, many years ago. So things that have really stuck with us, whether it's because that they are so witty, so crazy, so over the OTT.
Well, let me also ask, because we are afforded the opportunity to talk with a contestant who has done some voting confessionals in his time. I mean, Rob, when you're playing, is there talk about like what you'll say in the voting booth? Obviously, and we might get to it. There are times you can certainly make a show out of it. But is there any talk amongst players of, oh, yeah, when I'm voting for this person, this is what I'm going to say? Or is that more of a Big Brother thing?
Perhaps it's a Big Brother thing because we see it more on the live feeds. I really don't remember a lot of talk about, hey, here's what I'm going to say when I go into the voting booth. I remember like having like internal conversations of like, oh, OK, let me say this or let me think about what I should say, because I knew as being a fan of the show that that was one of my favorite things of what will you say when you are voting against that person. And I kind of looked at it a little bit like, I used to watch SportsCenter. When in the 90s, and they'd have like just like crazy things of like somebody'd hit a home run and they would just yell out like different catchphrases and stuff like that, and I just thought that that would be something that would be really fun to see people start to bring into Survivor.
Catchphrases?
Yeah, like somebody hits
wowie
a home
zowie
run. Yeah, and it's like, forget the mustard, it's karate time, that's out of here.
To your point, we might be talking about the queen herself in an installment here today, but I will say something that she did in Game Changers is sort of an example of that, right? Like, queen stays queen, adios, was really coined on a recurring basis in that season.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Interesting. So, okay, well, I guess maybe then that's also part of the criteria. Is this a catchphrase? Can we make a catchphrase out of the voting confessional?
So,
can you put it on a t-shirt?
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Can you get a seeds baby out of it?
Right. Really, nobody should have ever let me be on television that I was just like trying to think of like what's like crazy things that I could be doing. Like, they shouldn't have let me be on the TV station at my college, let alone CBS.
I don't know, Rob, if you're not let onto television, none of us are here right now. So really, that is the ultimate sliding door into the voting booth.
But the question is, are you doing something more productive?
Never.
No.
I'm sitting there counting my toes for the millionth time.
Yeah, but Liana might.
Yeah, but then I never
she could
met
be in the
Kalia,
lab. Yeah.
So, you know,
that's true.
I might be more productive, but I certainly wouldn't be as happy.
You'd be a Nobel-winning, heartbroken person.
Yeah. The things that would have happened if Rob didn't survive New Orleans, wasn't on TV.
Yep.
Think about it.
Yeah. Okay. So, Mike, where do you want to start?
Well, let's start at the very beginning. A very good place to start. We're going to go chronologically here. And spoiler alert, I don't know if this is representative or not, but of the 20 I pulled today, a lot of them are based in like the first 10 seasons.
Yeah.
A good plurality of them. I wonder, and actually, even before we get into it, you know, has the voting confessional kind of gone away in a novel concept? Obviously, there are going to be some modern ones that we're going to talk about. But I do feel like when you think about really big voting confessionals, a lot of them are from like arguably the first 20 seasons of the show.
Yeah. So I think that's a really good point. And I think it speaks to something that's going on with the show, where I think that because of the, Hidden Immunity Idol, and of course all of the different twists and stuff, I do think that they edit more so that the person at home, as much as possible, is always surprised. And I don't know if that was necessarily the case in the earlier season. So I feel like that a lot of times that the vote tended to be more of like a binary choice of it is either A or B. And there was more that they could show you without necessarily like telling you like what, maybe there's like a swing vote or something like that. But I think that they like having all of the votes up in the air. And maybe they're also pressed for time where they don't spend as much time showing the voting confessional. So I do think that there are reasons why we saw more of these in the early seasons than we saw in, you know, from like 20 and on.
Yeah, I think someone would have to go back and do the math, but they show less for sure in the more recent seasons. Because, I mean, even the most memorable ones that I can think of from recently would probably be Wendell's is the only one I think that I could name, whereas, you know, I have at least 10 I think I could name from the first 10 seasons. So for sure, that definitely has to be the case.
Yeah. Not to give anything away, could you think of one from Winners at War? Because I can't. Yeah.
the Boston Rob voting for Tony is probably the biggest one. Either that or like was it Ben was like picking stuff up and looking for in the confessional. So yeah. It's become less about like maybe Adam it's become Klein. more about the impact of the vote than maybe the votes that are being cast. That being said, I said this last time, I'll say it every time, this is a group of 20 that I picked out from hundreds, who knows, maybe thousands of voting confessionals. The ones you want might not be on here, but that's why we're going to hashtag save it for the sequel. So apologies if it's not part of these.
Is that the hashtag if people send us anything? Hashtag save it for the sequel.
It might just be like a blanket response, you know?
You okay, boomer.
Yeah. And then we'll just respond to every single one like, oh, that's a good one.
Yeah,
that's a good one.
Good one. Good job. One. Thanks.
Okay.
Hashtag save for the sequel.
All right.
Well, let's go all the way back to Survivor Borneo. And a weird little dude by the name of Greg Buis. So this is
a weird little dude.
Little WLD by the name of Greg Buis. So this is Greg's vote for Jenna. It's going to be ultimately the last vote he ever casts in the episode that he was voted out. So we're going to give a listen here to our very first confessional, and then we'll talk it over. This is Greg voting for Jenna in Survivor Borneo.
Okay, here we go. Greg Buis.
First time for paranoia, second time for irritation, and third time because my ear infection is clearing up.
Okay.
My ear infection is clearing up and you're out of here.
Yeah, that's your catchphrase.
Yeah. So the ear infection was helping him deal with Jenna Lewis because his hearing was impacted. Is that what he's saying?
Yeah. I think that's sort of like, yeah, it's a bit of, it's not even A to C. I think that's like A to F of really just working through the logic. But that's also Greg Buis in a nutshell.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or a coconut shell.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. So, yeah. So, I mean, it's an allusion to the fact that I believe Greg did vote for Jenna three times. I think it was at the Joel Tribal Council. Maybe it's during the Ramona Tribal Council at that Cockamamie Merge Tribal Council. Then finally, when he was voted out. And so he was giving his various reasonings as to why he was voting for her.
Okay. How was the volume on that clip for you two? Good.
Yeah, don't need an ear infection to know that was good volume.
Okay. Now, I was trying to guess what this was before we were going to play the clip. It is not a voting confessional that really stands out to me. Liana, do you know what clip was coming up?
No, as soon as Mike was like, all right, we're going to Borneo, I was like, all right, which one? And this is not from, what did you call him? The weird little dude?
Weird little dude,
Greg Buis. No, that's not what I expected. So, I mean, just for that, I mean, can I in good faith put this in one of the top tiers because I didn't remember it. Now, I do enjoy the extremely complicated logic of I have to vote you out a third time because my ear infection is clearing up, meaning I can hear you better and therefore you are annoying. So I have to vote you out. However, in a, you know, what, like 20 second clip, I'm not sure that really translates for television. You got to be quick. You got to be snappy.
Yeah.
You know?
Liana, was Greg Buis treated with antibiotics? Because I don't think an ear infection is going to clear up on its own.
Oh, I don't know. Maybe the worm crawls out of your ear, like Jenny Lanzetti.
I thought you were talking about like Star Trek 2.
No, that worm did not crawl out.
Because I feel like that maybe it's like water was in his ear. Maybe it wasn't an infection.
Yeah. Do we think it was really an infection?
So I believe I read Mark Burnett's book and he said that Greg did indeed have an ear infection, though. I don't know. Maybe if he was knocking boots with Colleen in the jungle, it was a different type of infection.
That's not true, Mike.
All speculation.
All right. So I guess let's look at where this should go on the list. And so let's go ahead and take a look here. So here is our big board that we will be working at. Of course, that somehow we always have the bottom tier D, which we have to just remove. I don't know why that always ends up there.
That's like the hell. Like, you don't even deserve a Survivor quote. You're D.
D. Okay. All right. The top tip top is worth playing for. Then we have a second tier, which is My Life is Fine. Then Ain't No Hershey Bar. And then Forget You, Go Home, a Goodbye, which could make things very confusing today.
That's what I do want to do, is cause confusion on this podcast. Okay.
So let's welcome in Greg. Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye is the bottom tier. I don't think that this is a bad confessional. I feel like it should not be in the Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye, which are reserved for the most ratchet.
So again, like, it's kind of hard without knowing the full spectrum of what we're going to be looking at today. But the fact that this is clever, he actually did have an ear infection. For some reason, that lends points to this confessional.
Like the truth in comedy.
Right, exactly. He took advantage of the situation that he was in. You have the 3-time callback. Yeah, maybe Ain't No Hershey Bar for me on this one.
Yeah,
I'm good keeping it there for now. Like I said before, I think Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye, it might not be ratchet here, because again, this is going to be, to quote Jeff Probst, there's going to be a curve here, definitely. So there's a chance
it might around.
By the end, we do some sort of rejiggering and might
okay
around. So this is not set in stone anytime soon, much like Greg's ear infection.
Well, we can't treat us with antibiotics yet. So
yeah, okay, all right, Mike. What's number two on your list?
Well, number two
in your batting order.
Number two is with season number three. We are going to Survivor Africa. So Kelly Goldsmith, interesting character for many reasons. And also, you know, the result of probably one of the first big moves in Survivor history, arguably, when Lex turns on her. Kelly knows that Lex is turning on her, and it leads to the quote from her boot episode when she is voting for Lex, and she does not mince words in true Kelly Goldsmith style.
Okay, here is a former Talking with T-Bird guest, Kelly Goldsmith. By the way, check out this latest edition of Talking with T-Bird, as Cindy Hall joins us for a second time to tell us about her epic story of going to California. It's a podcast unlike any other I think we've ever done, where we just let a guest tell a story for a good 90 minutes to 2 hours on the podcast. Check that out with Cindy Hall. But let's Kelly Goldsmith. Here she is in Survivor Africa.
When it's me, you'll know it. I couldn't be more excited to be casting this boat. I never wanted you to win, and now I hope you won't. If this is the last vote I cast, then at least I got a vote for you, who I've always found to be not fun to be around.
Okay. All right. So that was OTT from Kelly Goldsmith.
Yeah, I have this in my mind fondly because this, I remember being like pretty much the first Savage voting confessional, though he'll end up showing a few seasons down the line of like, this is, everyone was like pretty okay to each other, pretty civil to each other in the voting booth, with the exception of like Greg's musings. This is really the first time that someone comes into the voting booth and is like, I hate you. I hate you doing this to me, and you're not going to win because of it.
And it's very to the point. You are not fun to be around. You know, and not really mincing any words there.
And I believe the reference to, like, if it's me, you'll know, was not only a quote that she said to him when he was suspecting her of voting for him during the merge, but she also, like, drew something in the corner to be like, yes, this is my watermark, the Kelly Goldsmith watermark, to be like, yes, this was indeed coming from me.
What is the watermark?
I'm not sure. I'm going to have to remind myself. I know it's just a little drawing that she put in there.
Okay.
Like what? Like a dagger? Like, you think it was a dagger? What do you think it was? Like a flower or something? What would the mark be?
It could have been a rat, because wasn't the whole thing, it was about like sniffing out the rat or something?
Mm-hmm.
The rat of death.
Yeah. Okay. So this is mean-spirited. I wouldn't say it's particularly witty, just very, very much blunt and to the point.
I mean, I think if there's the historical element to it that Mike is bringing up, right, that like, oh, if this is sort of the first super cutthroat, but even then, it's not that bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, maybe just because we put it in the history of all the other confessionals right. that we've had.
No, yeah. I think when you compare each other, a lot of people throw weight behind their insulting confessionals more so than Kelly. It almost seems like maybe not a rat, but almost like mouse-like in the way that she just sort of says it straight out. I would say she brings more venom to her final tribal council yes. speech than she does mm-hmm. in the last vote she casts here.
Yes, mm-hmm. which I just thought exactly. was sort of like derivative of Sue Hawk. I felt like that. Even like Brian Gumbel, I feel like, and Kelly Goldsmith gets the Sue Hawk Award tonight.
Oh, yeah, I was gonna say, I'm pretty sure Rosie O'Donnell, didn't she like give the Sue Hawk Award away to Tammy? Like she actually coined the term for it.
Yeah, we'll have to go back and check the tape on who said it first, Rosie or Brian.
Yeah, we'll do, I'm going to play a list for classic. Reunions.
Yes.
Put all it right. on the Twitch podcast.
So here we are, Kelly Goldsmith. We saw her forget you, go home, goodbye. Is this confessional ratchet?
I'm fine with leaving it in the forget you, go home, goodbye.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. I don't know. I just, there's so many other ones. If you're going to compare it on the axis of straightforward, harsh, and to the point, there are other confessionals that I think beat out this one.
So what I would say is that while I have no love for this confessional, I think Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye should be reserved for something that's an abomination. Why did you say this? This is a terrible confessional. And I feel like
this one made sense. This is fitting.
It made sense.
And I think this one is also like cathartic a bit as well. Like I think mm-hmm. the audience at that point maybe was not the biggest fans of Lex, particularly in that episode. So I think that was one of our first like preaching to the choir. Yes, Queen Kelly. Thank you for saying it. To your point, Liana, I think given 20 years of Survivor history, we have seen stuff blow this way out of the water. But I would not say it's necessarily a bottom tier confessional at the moment.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I would just ask, okay, Greg versus Kelly, who should be ahead of which one?
I like the humor of Greg's more than I think the attempted bite of Kelly's.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, I think that Greg's is more short and to the point, whereas Kelly's is a bit longer.
I don't have a preference here.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm fine with this order.
Okay. All right, Mike, let's go back to the well. What else do you got?
2020 was a year for Sean Rector. Obviously, he did a lot of great stuff with the Diversity Voices of Survivor podcast that you had been doing over the course of this year. People might forget that the man was a Survivor player himself, and he had an extremely memorable vote when he, in one of the biggest moves in Survivor history, helped turn the tables on old Johnny Pots and Pans. Here is Sean voting out John from Survivor Marquesas.
Okay, friend of the pod, Sean Rector. Here he is.
Checkmate, bruh. Thought you had me. So anytime you go to Vegas, bet on black. But we definitely gonna have chicken and waffles when this whole thing is done.
Yes.
So the smiles across everyone's faces are like, I think, sign that this is by far the best one we've experienced so far out of the three.
Yeah.
Checkmate. Checkmate, bruh. Yeah.
Checkmate, bruh. And then is that the passenger 57 quote, Mike?
I'm trying to remember the if you're in Vegas, always bet on black.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's always bet on black. Passenger 57. Yeah, I think Wesley Snipes. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one. OK, so there's sort of, I think, of three different elements of this. So there's the intro, which is fabulous.
Mm-hmm.
There's the iconic quote, the reference, fabulous. And then, you know what? A little bit of reconciliation.
Yeah.
Don't worry.
If you will. Yeah.
Like,
see you on the flip side.
Yeah. We'll get some chicken and waffles. We'll be good. I love that. I love it. It is a masterpiece.
It's a turducken of a voting confessional.
Exactly. Yes. Yeah. It's got all the different pieces that you want.
Yeah, and the fried chicken's a part of that. I think what also helps it is the actual poignancy of it as well, because mm-hmm. you know, Sean was the target of the Road to Four up to this point, and so this is Sean being able to say, I mean, to your point, checkmate, bro, is very meaningful in that, like, he said, no, I'm turning the tables on to you. I'm the one who made the move. Mm-hmm. Now you're out of luck.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Very Queen's Gambit.
V's Gambit.
Okay. So let's take a look at our big board here, and let's see where Sean Rector is going to land on this list from Survivor Marquesa. All right. So let's take a look, and this is not Ratchet, right?
Far from it.
Far from it. Okay. All right. Would you say
this is not the best so far? Opinelia's tongue.
Yes.
This for me is My Life is Fine. At least.
I agree. I think, yeah, it's tough. I'm inclined not to put it in worth playing for yet until we figure out like what really makes the, because I feel worse if we put it in worth playing for and then move it down. Then My Life is Fine and we move
okay.
it up.
No.
Better to be promoted than demoted.
All right.
Hey, bro.
All right. But right now, Sean Rector is at the top of the heap here with his confessional, voting out John Carroll. All right, Mike, next item up for bids. What do you got?
Let's go to, I don't know if you all know, but there was a merge episode in Survivor the Amazon where somebody said something when voting out Roger Sexton that was pretty legendary in its own right. I don't think anyone is aware of it. It's a pretty much a hidden gem of its own that I was able to find. So let's unearth this masterpiece and give a listen to this complete stranger talk about him.
Okay. All right. Here is some idiot from Survivor the Amazon.
Here comes tonight's long distance dedication. It goes out to Rob from New York. He writes, "Dear Casey, there's a mean old man in my life that's about to leave. Could you please play something appropriate for me? Well, Rob, here's your request. Na, 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 na. Na, 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 na. Hey, hey, hey. Goodbye."
Can't believe they would put someone like that on TV. What were they thinking?
Has anybody ever done a confessional in an impression of somebody that's not even on the season of like, I guess Johnny Fairplay does like some wrestling voices in E! Confessionals.
Very groundbreaking in that way. It's and did like a Red Fox impression.
Yeah, what a moron that really was thinking of these things. Like, what a like twisted,
I mean, to your point, Rob, you're vocalizing brain. What Jeff Probst told this person apparently when they went to go sit back down.
Yeah, if anybody has never heard this story, so like in Survivor the Amazon, the voting booth was very close to where there were the benches and there was the fire and then there was this doorway and then you just walk through it. It wasn't a long hike to the voting booth, and so I'm trying to do this thing. And then I walk out and I guess I'm like all proud of myself. And Jeff Probst looks at me and says, "Just so you know, that will never, ever make it onto the show. Okay? You know that, right?" I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't know."
Yeah. And then I'm assuming the editors, a la Heidi, said, "When I knew this, I knew instantly it was going to make the show."
Yeah. Yeah. Apparently, I think Roger also heard that. I think it was very loud.
Well, it's tough though. I think you would tempt a little sotto voce, right? You could hear it in the beginning, but like it's really tough to.
Didn't want
to
lose the performance. Yeah.
Right.
So stupid.
I love it.
Well, I love it, especially like I wonder how this plays in 2020. Like, what kids are turning to their parents watching this and
most
being like,
actually doesn't that? Play in 2020 often because I think they have to pay for the rights to that song.
I don't know if they cut, Sam actually might know the answer to this one, if they cut the whole thing or if they just cut the music part of that. Because, yeah, exactly. They don't want to pay for the music rights. Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like nowadays, if you'd have to do like a 2020 version, you'd be like, "This is Bobby Bones from iHeartRadio taking in a long distance request."
That's the updated, the modern version of this.
Yeah. Oh, no, I got a tweet.
No, it's like a podcast or maybe, I guess, Sirius Radio. It's not really.
Yeah. This boat is sponsored to you by Nature Box, the thing you should eat when you get the hell out of here.
So while they're at it, there's a few more things they could cut from Survivor the Amazon if they want. You know, if you're in there already, go for it.
Survivor the Amazon, I think, is one of the only seasons where they should like allow an age rating. You know, like, oh, you can only be this old to watch Survivor the Amazon.
Yeah. So, all right. This is going to be hard for me to.
You can abstain.
Yeah. I think I would abstain. And I also feel like that, do you want me to leave the room also? Like, I feel like that this is like awkward of like that. I don't have any sort of like ego about this of like, if you guys don't put my confessional number one,
you are cutting the power.
Everybody's fired. That's it. So
what, you'll make me wish that I never got found on TV.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So yeah, I will just you tell me where it goes.
I mean, this is on
this
top.
Is top tier. Yeah.
Top tier. Look, we will say what Rob physically is unable to is this is eviscerating. It is creative. It is musically influenced, and it is completely novel for the early era that it was in. Mm-hmm. This is through 20 years of Survivor, still one of the most remarkable voting confessionals of all time. And the fact that future executive producer Jeff Probst read you to filth for it upon sitting mm-hmm. down and it still got put in is just icing on that cake, baby.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And the fact that they're not willing to pay extra to make sure that it gets played. So now Jeff Probst got his wish. There's mm-hmm. something also beautiful
yeah,
about
it came
that.
True.
So,
exactly. Who's laughing now?
Well, like, here's what you do. Instead, take out any instance of copyrighted music in Survivor and just put in the Winners at War song.
Yeah.
What, just like play over
Roger,
it?
Yeah. I've got a special dedication for you. It goes out to from a kid from Long Island who says, Winners at War. What is it for? Winners at War.
Keyboard being like, I'm going to do a performance. You better get ready.
Mm-hmm. Beautiful.
Like they have in-house music. Might as well use it.
Mm-hmm. Paid for it, damn it, they're gonna use it.
This is
for me, this isn't a debate, this is definitely top tier. I mean, even before I was familiar with RHAP, like I knew this confessional, I had this confessional, you know, always in my brain. So I think that just goes to show its longevity, its staying power, and it's top tier for me.
Plus, the impression that results out of this becomes a formative part of one of your weekly Survivor podcasts, Rob. Mm-hmm. That is like right there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Somehow it still is following us to this day.
Somehow.
Yeah. Like a ghost.
Like a ghost. So there you go. It also like happened to be in a vote where it was such a like jailbreak vote where everybody is voting for Roger except for Butch and maybe Dave. And it's just let you know, they were having so much fun at Roger's expense in this episode. I think it really fit the tone of what they were trying to do.
Yeah, it was one of those rare episodes. I mean, to your point, I think a lot of modern Survivor just shrouds a lot of mystery as like what's going to happen. This is one of the rare Survivor episodes where it's like, we know what's going to happen. Let's see how we get to this outcome. And to that point, they're dunking the entire episode on Roger, and yours was just the final, you know, alley-oop that breaks the glass in the board and rains down upon everyone.
Boom shakalaka. Yes.
Sports guy Mike coming in with that classic analogy.
Watched a lot of Space Jam growing up.
All right, we're taking a quick break from the list to take a moment and thank a sponsor. Those are our friends over at ButcherBox. ButcherBox, of course, is shipping a curated selection of high-quality meat right to your home. They've got a great offer for our listeners. How about free bacon for life, the life of your subscription when you sign up at ButcherBox.com/RHAP. Look, today's sponsor, ButcherBox, believes everybody deserves high quality, humanely sourced meat. It comes right to your door. Could not be more convenient than going out to the store. Very tough to do right now. ButcherBox is going to take out all of the extra steps, get that meat shipped right to your door. Never be without something to cook for dinner because there's always meat in the freezer. I end up doing, we do a lot of grocery delivery here, and a lot of times I'll put something in my cart, and then when the groceries get here, oh, they were out of it at the store. You don't have to worry about that. With ButcherBox, one less trip to the grocery store and a better, more affordable selection too. Every month, ButcherBox, they ship a curated selection of high-quality meat right to your home. All the meat, free of antibiotics and added hormones. Each box has 9 to 11 pounds of meat, enough for 24 individual meals. That's an entire cast of Australian Survivor, packed fresh, shipped frozen, vacuum sealed, so it stays that way. You can customize your box or go with one of theirs. Either way, you get exactly what you want. It's a no-brainer. It's the best meat shipped right to your door, which means less trips to the grocery store. Options like 100% grass-fed and finished beef, free-range organic chicken, heritage pork, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, that's my favorite, and the sugar nitrate-free bacon. It's the way meat should be. ButcherBox, it's the most affordable and convenient way to get healthy, humanely raised meat. With ButcherBox, you get the highest quality meat for around $6 a meal. They even have free nationwide shipping except to Alaska and Hawaii. Bacon for Life is back right now. New members get Bacon for Life when they sign up. Go to butcherbox.com/RAJP. Somebody tell Adam Pock there's a package of free bacon in every box for the life of your subscription when you go to butcherbox.com/RAJP. All right, let's get back to the list.
All right. So, well, I may have jumped a bit forward in time. I may have wiggled a bit forward in time and
skipped the Rob.
I got a bit trigger happy with playing the Casey Kasem one because we actually do have to go back one season. But you know what? I had to put one Rob before the other because we are going to another Rob here. Rob's a backnick. Rob with two B's, guys. Two B's. Rob and Shean did not get along. That is an understatement in Survivor Thailand. And when Rob voted for Shean one time, he made sure to let her know that.
Okay, here is Rob Zabaknik.
Sorry, girl. You get on my nerves and I don't like being around you. Nothing personal.
Okay. Mike, what was it about that confessional that really stood out to you?
It's incredible. It's a Michael Scott line. It's you annoy me and you get on my nerves. Nothing personal, though. Those are two very personal statements, and he follows up with nothing personal.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So you like the line of dialogue.
The line of dialogue is incredibly written. Rob Zabaknik is an unintentional comedy script genius in what he was able to craft there.
Do you think it would have been funnier if he had flipped it, though? Nothing personal, but... Does that play better? Or is it better the opposite?
I think nothing personal works better as a punchline, personally. Mm-hmm. I don't know if we need to punch up that joke.
Okay. Just trying to see if we can send it to the writer's room, see where that goes.
Yeah, I think you'd probably want the laugh line at the end, which is the nothing personal tag.
Mm-hmm. I love that he says it with a straight face as well, of like, God, you're annoying. Nothing personal, though. It's just a game. Mm-hmm. Bye.
Yeah. Boy, Rob Zabaknik and Shean, two of my faves to get in together for one voting confessional.
And I believe that was two other guests on Talking with T-Bird.
So far, a lot of Talking with T-Bird. Only Greg Buis not mentioned so far on Talking with T-Bird.
For many, find that WLD. I think that's the true white whale of Talking with T-Bird.
He's on the list. Yeah. Okay. Mm-hmm. So let's look at the big board for Mr. Rob Zabaknik. All right. So,
the thing about this one is that it's practical. I feel like I could use this in my daily life. Like, I could say something very insulting and then be like, you know, but nothing personal. You know, it's not personal.
Okay. It's not ratchet.
No, I said before, this does feel like something out of like The Office, like an ironic thing that a character says. So it does have sort of applicability in that regard.
Okay. Hmm. So how far is it going? Is it going past Kelly Goldsmith?
Because of the irony of it, perhaps. Like, does the ending line, like if it didn't have the nothing personal at the end, then I think it's worse. But I think with the nothing personal element added on to it,
I think with the nothing personal element, it's not on this list. So I agree. And I think maybe like Greg's, it's like the ones that are short and succinct, I think maybe reverberate on you more than something like Kelly's or even like Sean's, for instance, right? We don't remember the entire thing. We usually remember Checkmate Bro, Always Bet on Black. So it's almost like brevity is wit with some of these things.
Mm-hmm.
Even though Rob proves he doesn't have much wit in what he says in this confessional.
So I kind of feel like that Kelly Goldsmith benefits somewhat from, she's going to get voted out. Like, it's kind of a big vote where she gets voted out here. It's a big moment in that season with sort of like the inciting incident for the second half of the season of who voted for Lex. And this is a big part of it. So I just feel like that the circumstances of the Rob versus Shean battle, I feel like that it's the lowest stakes out of anything we're talking about here.
Mm. Right, because I believe this is also during the Stephanie vote where he just wasn't in on the vote.
Stephanie,
but neither of them are going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Exactly. Sorry, I hope Akiva's mouth isn't watering right now.
Is it other like pickle adjacent items as well?
Yeah, I don't know.
If I say like, this is my bread and butter, is he just like foaming at the mouth?
I think that's a great point, is to put it within the context of the episode, right? Because if that's what's going to benefit Rob's confessional, for example, then there need to be some stakes, right? And if so, this is just Rob sort of throwing a vote. I mean, you know, what is that? What is that?
Okay. All right.
I'm fine keeping it here for now. Let's you know, make that skateboard stop. I can't believe he brought a skateboard on the beach. This is still ridiculous to talk about many, many years later.
Yeah.
Very useful. That's what you should do as another ooh podcast. You should
luxury
do
items.
Yeah, luxury items.
Actually, that's a fantastic idea. I think well, and that's another thing that has gone away in recent times. So yeah,
I'm ready whenever you want it.
Yeah, I think Rob's got another top tier spot in mind right now.
Okay. All right.
All right. Well, now we're getting the time stream is back in motion. And look, I said brevity is wit. And nowhere is there more brevity than Johnny Fairplay's infamous vote for Sean Cohen during Survivor Pearl Islands.
Okay. Jebediah Kovad vote. Here we go.
F*** you.
Top tier. Top tier. It's got to be top tier. Oh, it's just good in so many ways. First, I mean, Survivor, as much as we talk about the age rating, Survivor is a show that I think very rarely allows explicit language on the show. And they also, even when they have people swear, they usually like just blur their mouths and do like the da-da-dum. But they actually, Johnny Fairplay gets a bleep here. We play what the bleep in the middle of a Survivor episode.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. What word do you think he said?
Ooh.
He didn't say fudge.
Yeah. Yes.
Oh, man. Well, if we're talking about harsh confessionals, what, Kelly walked so Fairplay could run, right?
Mm-hmm. So, you can skateboard on Rob's back.
Yeah. On the beach.
It's just the two words. This...
F*** you.
Yeah. he gives the finger, also. Too, right?
I believe that he does. And well, I think, I remember he like, he flips others off at a certain circumstance, but I think he also writes F-U on the vote as well, so that even though Sean was not around to hear this, he certainly sees it when the vote comes up.
Mm-hmm.
In case it's unclear.
Yeah. And there's some like historical stuff in here as well, because this is a vote where probably the closest Fairplay ever got to going home before he was voted out, right? Because Drake had to go to one more tribal council.
Yeah.
And it essentially was John versus Sean, who between Krista, Rupert, and Sandra,
yeah,
who were they going to convince to vote out?
They have like a little bit of their own like final tribal council, like on the beach of like, all right, tell us why it shouldn't be you. Okay. And then they were going to make their decision based on like what was going to be said at that meeting. House meeting. Yeah. Okay.
F you.
All right. Great job there by Johnny Fairplay. All right. Forget you, go home, goodbye. It's not Ratchet. All right. Where do you want to say? Is it up by Sean Rector?
I mean, I think it's worth playing for personally.
Okay.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right.
It's memorable. It's iconic.
I will abstain from the conversation of where it should be in the top tier.
It's also quintessential Fairplay, right? It's like smarmy and, you know, very adult and also like very cartoonish villainy.
It's no Will Work for Food, but you know what?
Yeah, I think Fairplay has redeemed himself immediately for that atrocious hat with his voting conventional.
It was Will Lie for Food.
We'll lie for food.
Did you say we'll vote for food?
I don't know.
Oh, that's it. If I'm ever playing Survivor, that's what I'm wearing.
Yeah.
Write that
we'll vote for food.
Yeah. What do we... All right.
Man. All right. So, Liana, what do you think here?
Ooh, you mean in the debate between the two?
Yeah, between Rob versus John. Another Rob versus John.
Rob versus John's, yeah.
Another Rob versus, yeah. Oof. I don't know. That's tough. I mean, I don't think it's... I think, yes, it is great in its simplicity, but I think that it then can never stack up against Rob's.
Yeah, it's almost the exact polar opposite. And I believe Rob's goes on for like nearly a full minute.
It's like 36 seconds. Yeah.
Yeah, who let that guy talk a lot?
Fairplay's is all of 2.5 seconds. It's like a Quibi length of confessional time. So the question is, I don't know, because I feel like Rob's has so much more legacy. Like Fairplay's is hella entertaining. That's why it's in the top tier here. But I feel like both rocks have been dropped in the pond and Rob's ripples have been echoing to this day, whereas Fairplay's made a big splash, but ultimately a smaller splash in the grand scheme of things.
Rob is Netflix, Fairplay is Quibi. I'm sorry, is that where you're getting at?
Exactly. But I mean, yeah, nothing to say about the people involved or their respective podcasts, but I don't know. I mean, this is really splitting hairs between what are two incredible confessionals from two incredible seasons, not to show my hand for my own season rankings. But yeah, I can't think of many reasons why at this moment I would put Fairplay above Rob, which I feel like sort of has the mixture of everything. Plus the fact that it's more of a high wire act. As I said, the longer you go, the harder it is to keep attention. And Rob's able to do so, whereas Fairplay, you know, doesn't need to.
Mm-hmm.
It's a bigger accomplishment that way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's fair. I like this.
Okay. All right. Mike, what is next for you?
Well, the Rob stuff continues. We are going to the very next season where, Rob, you yourself had some explicit language come out during your time in Survivor All-Stars. But we're actually talking about a different Rob. We are talking about Boston Rob. When he votes out Alicia, he has no choice but to do so. But Rob's going to go a bit multilingual on us during his vote for Alicia here in Survivor All-Stars.
What does Boston Rob have to say in his voting confessional?
Remember the little fight we had on day 3? I zipped my lip. I've been waiting to do this for 27 days. So, au revoir, adios, arrivederci, sayonara, as we say in Boston, see you later.
Okay.
See, as Boston Rob's broken Duolingo confessional from Survivor All.
I mean, that's why he did so well on The Amazing Race.
Yes,
right?
Yes. What does he say at the beginning of this?
He says,
"Remember that fight that we had on day three? That was a big deal, and I feel like that's something that could. I'm sure I talked about this in TEOS, but that was something that really screwed me up. Alicia and Boston Rob were fighting a ton, and I forget exactly what it was, but they had like a huge like blow up over something, and like I had just like a poop eating grin on my face from like ear to ear because I'm like, yeah, like this is great, like this is okay. People are fighting. I'm nobody's mad at me. I'm loving this. This is like things could not be better. And like right after like they had like that big blow up, they were like, hey, Rob C, can we get you in confessional? And I felt like that was like a really kind of like blew up my spot with people. And I feel like that was like, I think that looking back, that like, that was a point where things like really started to go downhill from there, where it was sort of like, I feel like that it was like just very obvious to the group of like, oh, Sesternino is really liking that people are fighting.
It was more so like, okay, he's the one who's like watching and is going to comment on the fight.
Yeah, I think I was coming off a little too little finger there in that spot where, but they were like, I was like, oh, Alicia's going to be the first person voted out. And Rob is Rob has had it with Alicia. This is great. And I'm in good with Rob, and he's had it with Alicia, and she's going to go out. That's why I thought that Boston Rob would vote for Alicia when I got voted out, because they were fighting from early on. But
are you saying that like Bran Stark gets stabbed with a knife? They're like, Peter Baelish, we need you to go write a raven right now.
right. He seemed like really happy about that. And, you know, and I don't know how much I was like really happy. And also like, I'm trying to be like a stupid idiot that's getting like camera time of like, oh, how do I make this into like my story of also like, OK, I got to like really like I can't wait to be in confessional and talking about how great this is for me. And just like a little bit of an overplay on my part, trying to ham it up in at that point in the game. But that really was a big deal. And Boston Rob is talking about it, you know, however many days this is later. That
it took him 27 days to finally be able to make good on that word that he had.
And I also have to give credit to Amber, too, because I think that you know, Amber and Alicia, you know, had a pre-existing relationship from both being on Survivor of the Australian Outback. And I think that once Rob and Amber got together, I think that Amber was able to like make the case for Alicia a lot more about how like it seemed like that she was able to like mediate any sort of like problems in that relationship for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the fight about? Was it about like camp stuff? Because I'm assuming day 3, like it's around.
They're
you know,
just both like hard-headed about like there was like it was like the way that something should have been done. I forget if it was like something in the shelter or something like that. But it was some like aspect of camp life that he was saying do it one way and she was saying do it a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't remember what it was.
Do you think you had notes about this confessional then? Been like, shouldn't have done it that way. I mean, I can't even understand you. You have to enunciate, Boston Rob.
that's the thing as well. And we remembered it most recently in season 39 that Boston Rob is a bit like mealy mouthed at certain perspectives. So yeah, he's a bit mumbly. But I think people more so remember the adios, au revoir, arrivederci, or as we say in Boston, see you later.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also some callback. I don't know if this should be like included in the judging, but Alicia has sort of like a mirror confessional when she votes for Amber.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll hashtag save it for the sequel, but the
best final vote confessionals.
Exactly. Yeah. Remember on this day when I said, I promised you I'd never get me, you know, write your name down. I'm a woman of my word. And that's how she's one of the, you know, indicatory votes for Amber to win.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Kim in the chat is asking about if it was during the Home Depot. It was prior to the Home Depot competition. This was like a very, very early on. This is like the first couple days.
Tina Weston was walking out of the game.
Right. Right.
Actually, this could have been the day of your fake tribal council, Rob.
Yeah, it's like day three, day four. Yeah. Sometime around there. Anyway. So, all right. So Boston Rob voting for Alicia. And that was a bit of a blindside because just to go back to that episode, I believe this is the final seven. And there is like the basically like the alliance of six, the Shapira six. And Shein is the odd person out back to back. Shein talk here, two out of three in a row, where Shein was in the mix. And she wins immunity. And so now somebody from that group has to go home. So
it really was sort of like the last one in, first one out thing where Boston Rob had made so many deals with people that he's like, oh, I'll cast out Alicia here. She's the last person I made a deal with. And so that crafts his confessional here where he says goodbye to her in essentially five different languages.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So, in an alternate universe, though, where I make it through that tribal council, this is where I get voted out in that season.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Well, I mean, that's kind of good to know, yeah. I guess.
Is he giving you the same language lesson?
I don't know. But Shapira never vote again. They never vote anybody off again until... So, if I would have made it through one more night, like, I'm probably around for a while just because... Unless I just get on everybody's nerves so much that they've, like... I'm, like, the merge vote or something like that, but...
You know, you get on my nerves and you annoy me. Nothing personal. A river dead.
Yeah. So, all right. Here is Boston Rob and... Leon, did you get your thoughts on this first before we rank it?
I think the inaudibleness of the first part definitely takes away from the voting confessional, but I like the inclusion of multiple languages. I think that that's very important. Mm-hmm. Again, it also, like I said, foreshadows the Amazing Race success of it all. So for me, I like that element to it. You know, is this top tier for me? No, I don't think so. I think there are other ones that are more memorable, but I think that there are elements that I do like about this confessional.
Okay.
Do you think that Boston Rob missed a career opportunity doing all the voices for It's a Small World, considering his worldliness of languages?
It's a world of laughter, a world of fun.
And they're all like little Dutch girls, little
Mexican boys. Yeah, they get to a point on the ride where it's like you go through France and Holland, and then it's like, oh wait, we're in Boston. And it's
Boston. Yeah. Classic.
Yeah. Okay. We're in the harbor. Okay. Okay. So let's go ahead and take a look. All right. This is not Ratchet, right?
No, I don't think so.
Value to this, even though, like you said, Boston Rob is far from, I think, the most charismatic in this voting booth. I think there's enough entertainment value to bump it up to the third tier.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So is Boston Rob in this tier?
I kind of think so. Like, I'm trying to think, like, if I want to put him up next to his Marquesas buddy, Sean, but it feels like Sean is on literally another level than what Boston Rob does here.
Yeah. Is he the top of this tier?
I'm trying to think of catchphrase. I love, for some reason, this catchphrase criteria. Like, I feel like that's something that we could use here. I mean, just saying things in different languages, is that enough? Okay. Like, is that enough? Whereas, again, like, my ear infection is very specific.
So, Liana, I want to go to the punchline here, which he closes it with, or as we say in Boston, see you later. Now, is that a thing? Is that
Hey, Liana, you live the closest to Boston out of all of us. How many people do you run into that say see you later to each other?
Is that so specific to Boston?
If it was like, as we say in Boston, say hi to your mother for me?
Yes, and like make Mark Wahlberg reference.
It's a little bit more regional, you know, it's too broad.
Like in Boston or see you in Cambridge, you know, like something very hyper specific.
See you later when we park the car at Harvard Yard.
As we say in Boston, see you later in Boston, where we currently are.
Oh my god. Yeah. Like he wrote Derek Jeter on the card. I don't know. Like yeah. what else?
Derek Jeter sucks. Yeah. No yeah. more forever.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I was still trying to think of like what the FU equivalent would be. Yeah, I don't know. I'm not, you know what, this, I'm going to be honest, like this doesn't super move me. It's fine.
Okay, it's fine. Oh, it's, yeah, but not my life is fine.
My life is, no, not my life is fine.
Okay, all right.
I would say it's an A-No Hershey bar right, for me. Right. I don't know where. I have no strong opinion.
Okay, so let's just go one by one. Rob versus Rob with two B's. One B or two B's?
I like Rob with two B's better than Boston Rob's, if we're being honest.
Okay.
No, that's fine with me.
That's fine. Not going to die on this hill. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, I think Boston Rob has had, I think it also doesn't help that Boston Rob has had better, more entertaining moments. I think like this is not exactly indicative.
Yeah, by comparison. Yeah, I'm not going to
like it made this list for a reason. Yeah. But I do think it's probably on the lesser scale of like even like Boston Rob's Confessional and Redemption Island has more verve to it than what he does here.
Well, I'm just trying to think, is this Boston Rob's best voting confessional of all time?
No, because I think the one he cast for Francesca is pretty interesting, where he's like, you know, you newbies make it too easy. All you have to do is just open your mouth or something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he gets more iconic with the voting confessionals, I think, as you go along. So, yeah, definitely not going to die on this Boston Commons.
it's also, as you say in Boston. And I will also actually make a note here that just for diversity's sake, I have limited the confessionals to one per player. So you're only going to see like one Boston Rob appearance in this particular installment, and okay. That will, you know, come into play with some people down the line.
Okay, we'll do a separate list for all of Boston Rob's voting confessionals.
Right, when we get into like week 100 of this, mm-hmm. Yes, we can definitely do that.
Yeah. Okay. All Should right, we close well, out let's... the podcast with, or as they say in Boston, we'll see you later.
Yeah, that's Casey Kasem's, little sign off.
Yeah. As they say in Boston, we'll see you later.
Also, now that I'm thinking about it, if it comes down to whether it will be on a t-shirt, unfortunately, Dan Rangering's confessionals do not make it onto the list here. No, his t-shirt making skills are second to none, but unfortunately, his confessionals are not.
What was his shirt?
It was very much in the fair play mode.
It had the F word in it. I don't FBF. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But it was arranged like a crossword puzzle.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
like
yeah. The Hangman logo.
A,
yeah,
a classic B&B episode.
All right, so let's move on here to the very next season. And this is very rare. We are going to get two confessionals that show up in the same tribal council. So we are going to Survivor Vanuatu. It is the final six tribal council where Amy Cusack heads home. And Amy and Scout are going to not only vote for each other, but have very crosswords for each other.
Okay. All right. So we're going to hear two confessionals from the same.
Oh, we'll go together. Okay.
All right. Here's first up.
We'll play one at a time. So we'll start with Amy, and then we'll talk, and then we'll do Scout, and then we'll talk. Unless you want to play them both
no,
together.
No, that's fine. All right. Here's Amy first. Okay. Amy, talk with T-Bird Guest.
Well, Scout, you're pretty good at hiding your nasty side, but when your true colors come out, no part of any rainbow I've ever seen.
Ooh. Some people are, I don't know if they're not great whispers or the music is just too hot here.
Yeah, Russ Landau, stop showing off.
Listen, like I'm giving you volume realness in the confessional booth, okay? Everybody else isn't going to do that. Everybody else is trying to be secret.
Okay, so wait, can we go over it one more time just to make sure I heard it all correctly?
You're pretty good at hiding your nasty side, but when your true colors come out, you're no part of any rainbow I've ever seen.
You're no part of any rainbow that I've seen.
Yeah, when
okay.
Your true colors come out.
Yes.
So, I mean, this really good insult. I mean, love that.
It's meaningful in a number of ways because Amy and Scout are both part of the LGBTQ community.
Yes.
And so it was a pretty big barb of Amy, particularly by saying, you know, when your true colors come out, you're not a part of any rainbow I know.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah, it's a sick burn.
Yeah, you said it worked on multiple levels, though.
I mean, it was a sick burn, and it also had that
rainbow
content.
Has mm-hmm. multiple levels.
Exactly. Yeah. It's all
seven levels. Yeah. Okay. All right. What did Scout say? Also, talking with T-Bird guest. T-Bird is really checking off the whole list of great confessionals. All right. Here's.
I do not think anything you imagine Scout is going to say is not going to compare at all to what she ends up saying here about Amy.
Okay.
Get dethroned, and a lightning will strike a lone tree on top of a mountain faster than anything.
Wow. That sounds like a scene out of Poltergeist or something. It's like a prophecy. Like, I see a queen get struck by lightning. It's going to be like, oh my God.
I think Shambo dreamt about that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Dave Ball standing on the mountaintop getting struck by lightning.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and so Scout, Scout is a surprisingly shady castaway in Survivor. People might not remember her. They just think that she's sort of like the nicer old lady. But she, like, there's one, I think, earlier on with Mia where she's like, good luck finding a husband. Like, she is biting with some of these people. And she does it here with Amy where she says, queens get dethroned. And it's, you know, it's a tall tree standing on a mountaintop gets struck by lightning.
Tall tree gets struck by lightning. Okay.
I like they're both related to weather phenomena. Mm-hmm. That, you know, for the...
Now, are we ranking these as a package deal, Mike?
No, I think we can separate them.
Okay, well, first, which is better?
I'll throw that question to you.
I think Amy's is better.
Okay, Amy's is better. Can I hear Scout one more time?
Queens get dethroned. And a lightning will strike a lone tree on top of a mountain faster than anything.
A lightning will strike a lone tree on the top of a mountain faster than you
faster
think?
Faster than anything.
Okay, wait, I might be stupid, but can someone explain
that? It links with the queens get dethroned thing. Essentially, like, you stick out like a sore thumb, or you
tall
put yourself
poppy
on such a tall position that the lightning is going to hit you first.
Mm-hmm. 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 Mm. Uh-huh. So,
science, Liana, this should be right in your wheelhouse.
I know, but does the queen? They're two separate things, though. But they are similar.
Yeah, they are two separate metaphors.
Because the queen is not with, like, is the queen hanging out by the tree? Did the queen plant the tree? Is the tree part of the queen's land? Like,
yeah, no, this isn't a continuing narrative. This
okay,
isn't a story.
I know. I'm just,
this isn't the queen's lightning.
You're like the queen, and then the tree is a metaphor for being the queen.
Yeah, so that's unnecessary.
Yeah, two separate thoughts. Okay.
That being said, I do commend it for the creativity. Like, I don't think anyone else could turn Bob Dylan lyrics into a voting confessional, but here's Scout Cloud Lee doing just that.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and the cloud is for her control of the weather, so she is
maybe
able to.
Maybe that's it. Maybe she's like a weather wizard.
Yeah, she's like Storm.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Like, I wouldn't
just
stand on a tall mountain.
Very long and white. Was that the X-Men recasting?
Who's Magneto?
All right, welcoming to the MCU, the X-Men, starring Scout Cloud Lee as Storm.
Yeah, that's a good podcast, I think.
I think we're gonna have to do that. I think maybe an offshoot of this could be casting pop culture institutions with Survivor contestants.
Okay, sure. Hey, look, it takes long enough for another season, we got time for all of it.
Because Russell Hans is definitively Magneto, right?
We'll talk it through. We'll talk it through. I'm not gonna make that call right now.
I don't even like that little X hat.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Is that how he's able to find the idols without a clue? He's able
exactly
to just like
manipulate everything, right?
Is there metal on the idol? Okay. So, all right. Amy is better than Scout, but where do they go on the board? Okay. And are either of them ratchet? Who gets voted out here? Then Amy gets voted out?
This is Amy's, because Amy and Scout vote against each other.
Are we saying anything here like where the to the victor goes the spoils?
Ooh, interesting. Because Scout does technically get the last word. But to Liana's point, I think Amy gets the better dig in here.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Megan Scanlon says Ben Dreebergen is Wolverine.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see
which
it.
Actually, Wolverine wore cowboy hats, and also he's like unkillable.
Yeah,
he has the adamantium skeleton made out of.
Do you have a Professor X, Mike?
I feel like Rob? Christian Kubicki.
Oh,
what about Tony? I feel like he's got the same haircut.
No, Tony's. I think Tony's way too chaotic for Professor X.
Yeah, the Tony school.
Tony seems to me like a Quicksilver. Like, he just seems like running around everywhere, being able to slow down.
We
got to
decide, like, well, who has the look, but who really is the personality of that person? There's a lot to chew on there.
Josh Douglas says Yule is Professor X. I like that.
Mm-hmm.
See, is that a new layer of duplicity to the MCU?
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So, like, I feel like Ace has that look also. All right. Let's take a look here. Okay. All right. So let's see. Amy. So we say that first off, Amy is better than Scout. Okay.
Yeah.
All right. How high does Amy go?
So it's interesting because I think of the insulting confessionals outside of Fair Play's FU, I think Amy has probably the best insult. You know, if you're comparing it to like Kelly Goldsmith and Greg specifically, I think Amy has the best one.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I think so, too. I think this is in My Life is Fine, at least for me, just because I'm like, I would be fine with it being at the end of My Life is Fine. But that her insult is the type of thing that I would write down and try to use playing it off like it was my own insult.
Right.
So,
like you're like Liana's preparing for the snatch game. She's pre-scripting her reads. I think you throw something in like this.
Yeah, exactly. It's clever. It's an insult. Love it.
Okay. All right. Do you want to leave it here? Are we ready to talk about Scout?
I think Sean's better.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think Sean says, and it's also Sean again has that impact of it being the fall of the road too far. Amy gets voted out here.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. So Scout, is hers Ratchet?
You think so, Liana?
And I don't like it. Like, I get it. Like, everyone has explained it. I understand. But for me, it just is, I'm like, whatever.
It's whatever. What about you, Mike?
I like the poetry of it. I would argue to bump it up to Ain't No Hershey Bar. That being said, I know that we haven't had anything in this bottom tier yet, so I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know how bad the list is going to get. I agree, it's the worst of what we heard, but is it an abomination? Is it Ratchet?
I think it's just, it's weird and it's unique. I think its uniqueness has a lot going for it, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
essentially pros to Amy Cusack.
Just because you're unique doesn't mean you're useful.
Like you can have Twilon a pair of bongos right now accompanying her as she talks about the queen getting struck by lightning.
All right. Well, let's not get too caught up on this one. Yeah.
That's not what we're talking about. We're talking about voting confessionals.
Also, I may go back in my word. I might want to bump Busted Rob up more than I think about it.
Okay, well, how far do you want him to go? Do you want him to go past regular Rob with two B's?
Past two B's, I think.
Hey, as we say in Boston, see you later. Okay.
All right. Like how you made me talk.
Yes. Leon, do you have any issue with that?
No, I have no problem with that.
Okay. All right. But not higher than Kelly Goldsmith. Is that what you want, Mike?
I don't know. What do you think, Leon? Do you think it could go past Kelly Goldsmith?
I think it could, yeah. I mean, I think there's some... For Kelly, there's the history part of it that I think needs to be recognized. But at the same time, if I'm listing voting confessionals that I remember, that's not going to be one of them.
And I also will say that Rob has that, if we're talking about historical connotation, he has that mirror, again, as I said, from Alicia, of her doing the exact same thing, unintentionally so. Like, she didn't watch the tape back or anything. But, I mean, you know, these are two tough ones. I might inch Boston Rob over Kelly Goldsmith here.
Mm-hmm. I'm indifferent to this entire tier, so whatever you want to do with these.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah. Okay. If you have a strong feeling there, okay, I'm not going to fight you on that. All right. Are we ready to hear the next one? We're going to have a big jump here, Mike. What happened?
Well, I mean, like we said, I think even as we start rounding the double digits, not too many big ones. Apologies to Lisi's confessional against Dreams. That does not make it here. We are going all the way to Survivor China. Unfortunately, my one confessional per Survivor rule hits probably Courtney Yates the hardest. It was really tough picking a great Courtney Yates confessional, but I went with one of the OG ones. I went with Courtney Yates talking about one of her favorite subjects, or least favorite subjects, Jean Robert. This is the very first vote she ever cast for Jean Robert in episode 3 of Survivor China.
Okay, here we go. Here is Courtney.
First time for paranoia, second time for irritation.
Nope.
Sounds a lot like Greg.
Okay. Let me see what's going on there. And then, okay, let me scrub through this. And then, Mike, why don't you talk about that confessional for a moment while I get this straightened out?
Sure. So, so Courtney Yates is digging into Jean Robert. Look, there's a lot to get into when it comes to Jean Robert, but particularly his sleeping skills or lack thereof. So, you know, I can't do it justice, but essentially, Courtney compared John Robert's snoring to choking a walrus.
I think Courtney is someone that when you talk about Courtney and you talk about confessionals, whether it be voting confessionals, regular good old fashioned confessionals, she's someone who jumps to the top of your list, regardless kind of what that is. Like, Courtney can't give really a bad confessional. And so even though we haven't heard it exactly yet, I'm still anticipating. I think this will probably be top tier. I mean, she's someone who is iconic. And so sassy and so fabulous when it comes to burning people. And I like that as I'm learning that we're going through these. I like the insult ones. I like the ones that are clever insults. And so for her, I think this is like right up my alley of something I would enjoy.
Yeah, I mean, Courtney, to your point, is like just one of the shadiest contestants mm-hmm. ever. And so when you say, okay, here's a piece of paper, it gives you the excuse to say something shady to somebody. She's going to take that and run with it.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Rob, do you remember anything about the Courtney Yates missing confessional?
Not particularly.
I don't either. I mean, I remember a lot of dunks on John Robert, of course. Like, but can I list them specifically? I don't know if I can do that from memory.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm sure. All right, yada yada here. I can find the real McCoy for us here while you want to talk through or. Plug something, yeah. I'm sure, while I find this.
Like, the idea of a Courtney confessional is always going to be good. I don't remember anything that she particularly said in a voting confessional.
Like, I'm going to put this, and at least my life is fine, mm-hmm. like, regardless of what it is, because it's Courtney.
So you just need, like, the Courtney brand of authenticity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. Like I trust. Put my trust in her. And so that's fine.
Like, I think her brand is really all these people are here annoying me. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to go out of my way to win any of them over. I don't really want to be here. Yet here I am.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. She's got a little bit of the physical humor too. I don't think it's really discussed because she has such a quick wit and she has such a biting tongue, but you know, like the Russell, you know, bandy legged kind of her arm thing she does, like that's very funny. And so, and I think that adds to it as well.
Enough falsities here. I think I found the real confessional of Courtney Yates for John Robert.
Okay.
So this is from episode 3 of Survivor China. Let's see. I can play this for you right now. Here we go. There you go. I'm voting for you because when you snore at nighttime, it sounds like someone is choking a walrus.
Okay. Were we supposed to hear that?
You did not hear it?
We heard the music.
All right. This is live podcasting, people.
Okay. It sounds like somebody is choking a walrus. Not PETA approved.
I literally paused for 5 seconds and then you said you couldn't hear it?
We heard music. Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were doing a gag that you were then going to read it.
Mm-hmm.
No, I mean, she spoke, I think maybe she was very hushed.
Okay.
All right. Well, I sent it to you, Rob, if you want to play it.
Okay. All right. Hold on. I think we can move on. I think we're good with this. Yeah. Spending a lot of time on choking the walrus.
I don't know. Choking the walrus means something completely different.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
I don't even hear it in the video.
Okay.
All right. Yeah, I believe it. I trust. Top tier. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay. All right, Mike, I feel like that you feel very strongly about this one.
I think it's a classic Courtney insult in that it is creative. I think to the point that Liana made before, the thing about Courtney is she's not just going to say F you. She's not going to say you're ugly. She comes up with these extremely creative insults between bandy-legged troll, between get that feather out of your hair. And so I think the idea of John Robert snoring sounding like he's choking a walrus is a visceral image that I wish my own depraved mind can come up with. So I think it's at least decent. I think it's at least above replacement level here. I'm unsure whether to put it in my life is fine, but I just love the insult personally.
So does he sound like he is a choking walrus or
no,
he
it
is
sounds like he's choking, like his snoring sounds like someone is choking a walrus is what she said.
I feel like that's I could see it sounding more like he was a choking walrus.
Hmm. Do we think if it's someone choking a walrus, that's sort of negative points because of the animal cruelty?
Well, John Robert's doing it, so it's more so against him than anybody. Mm-hmm.
Oh, I got it. Okay. Okay, I got it. So it's both an insult that he would choke a walrus and an insult that when he snores, he sounds like he is also choking a walrus.
You are what you snore.
Mm-hmm.
I guess so.
Okay. It's creative. It's visceral. So I think that it really appeals to a survivor historian in Mike Bloom. So has a lot going for it. So where does it go? It's not Ratchet.
I don't think it's Ratchet.
Okay.
I mean, it's an
is it taller than a tree on a mountaintop, in your opinion, Liana?
Yeah, absolutely. Of course. I would say Already Start in My Life is fine. I haven't even heard it, but I would put it up there. Right?
Okay.
Better than an earache.
Yeah. All right. Your snoring sounds like someone is choking a walrus.
Yeah, I'm fine with it in this general area. And then for the person who's actually heard the confessional, I can let him do the final placement.
Rob, mm-hmm. you play it. I just set up the clip. It's 4 seconds long.
Okay. All right. Let me go ahead and open that up. And it's a it's not the easiest thing to switch between these screens, but I will. Mike wants it. Mike gets it. Okay.
Thank you.
Here we go. See.
I'm going for you because when you snore at nighttime, it sounds like someone's choking a walrus.
Yes.
Okay. Woo.
Did it meet your expectations? Did it.
You know, it was quite the buildup.
Mm-hmm.
for the 4 second clip. Choking a walrus. I mean, I like that because I would like to get more creative with my insults. I feel like they're a little stagnant. And so I'm looking for areas of inspiration. And so I think that this is sort of like right up my alley.
Okay. So how high do you want it to go? Is it go past Amy?
No, I like Amy's better.
Yeah.
I think it also, again, we talked about this sort of like with Boston Rob. I think the potential, like Courtney has other confessionals that I think are more cutting than this. This is very reminiscent of, it's a microcosm of Courtney, but it not being like the one big go-to voting confessional that it does for Amy, I think deters her a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm fine with this.
Okay. All right, Mike, let's go to another clip that hopefully we have.
Well, we have this one. I think we have met the end of the technical difficulties, unless someone gave away a voting confessional that prompted a certain survivor contestant to have an unbelievable reaction to a series of events. Of course, I'm going to Survivor Micronesia, fans versus favorites. And Rob, you're talking about unprecedented editing. When Eric gave up the immunity necklace, there were stunned reactions all around. And for the only time in Survivor history, we saw every single vote in that tribal council. The one I want to hone in on this time around comes from Ceree Fields, of course. This is one of Ceree's finest quotes, in my opinion. Let's hear what Ceree has to say during the final five tribal council of Survivor Micronesia.
Okay, here is Ceree.
My mother always told me, you may not be able to beat him with these all the time, but you can always beat him with this. Sorry.
Okay.
Iconic. Woo! It's iconic.
I love this confessional so, so, so much. This is absolutely fabulous. I wish Survivor showed this moment more because they never talk about Eric giving up the necklace. They just never discuss it. So I feel like this just deserves all the credit in the world. It's fabulous.
You get Eric giving up the necklace and then you get Parvati being like, Eric, you are the dumbest survivor. Yeah, right.
That's one I decided to save for the sequel. I wanted to put a few bullets in the chamber if we pursue this next time, and that's definitely another great one.
But Liana, you make a great point that the Ceree one is more like an encapsulation of the entire show, where the Parvati is more just like dunking on Eric still.
Well, yeah, Parvati's is the one that you use as the soundbite for the moment, as Liana is saying. Ceree, you could use a soundbite for Ceree. Like, this is Ceree's entire MO, right? You can't beat him with this, but you can't beat him with this. This is the woman who got off the couch back in season 12.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
She got up off the couch. Yes, I love this. I love this. This is top tier for me. It's not even a question.
Okay.
Because I just, I love Suri. I remember I got to be the Suri expert.
Yes, for Game Changers.
The Game Changers expert on Suri. And she is one of my favorite Survivor contestants. And like you said, Rob, like this confessional is just so poignant. It paints a picture of Micronesia, but also just in general of a strategy that you can use on Survivor and in the real world. Iconic. Yas queen.
I love the cinematography on it. It's weird to say considering it's a static hold on someone, but we even see in this picture Suri like is poking her head above the vote in like a very Suri giggle way, right? So like she's not even fully displaying herself. The fact that she's positioning herself like Wilson from Home Improvement above the vote is also very unique in and of itself.
Suri would be a good neighbor that you can go well, I mean, see you're having an issue over there, Rob. What's going on? Like,
be like, take a look at this.
The kids won't stop screaming when they're playing Nintendo.
Talk about notable hats. And I think also the physical motion too of the like tap to the bicep and the tap to the head, also iconic.
Yeah, not a lot of gestures known in these voting confessionals. So Suri brings that physical game in that perspective.
And when I hear that confessional, that I think of that too. I think of the physical motion. I will stump for this this confessional.
Okay. So yeah, so here's the thing then, Liana. Is it better than Fairplay and or Rob himself?
Personally, yes. I argue that it goes above both because of aforementioned reasons. Yet I understand Puy and I have had this when we do his tier list on Tier List Tuesday, where I feel very strongly, he feels very strongly, and we have to come to a compromise. So I think the question is how do the two of you feel? Is this the Boston Commons you'll die on?
Yes.
Or is this discussion that we will have?
As I've said earlier, I have had to recuse myself from the worth playing for tier.
Well, you can participate in the fair play, right? Better or worse than
better
fair
than
play.
Fair play. Gotcha. For sure.
Okay. I love the brevity of fair play's one, but Suri's, it also helps that Suri's comes during one of the most epic and talked about moments in Survivor history too, right? There's that linking, whereas Johnny Fairplay, it's Sean Cohen gets voted out.
In fairness to Suri, hers is still in the episode.
Yeah, that's true.
You don't have to get a bootleg VHS to see Suri's.
We like, oh, let me whip out my DVD copy so we can hear the confessional. Oh, you get to like hear Suri's when they put it on Netflix. You know what I mean?
I mean, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to make it number one. I'll put it above Rob's for now. So at least we're not being accused of nepotism here.
Yeah.
Sure.
Let me make this easy for everybody. That whenever you're trying to decide between Rob C and Suri, pick Suri.
That's a good call.
I think
Suri needs to be in first place for once.
Yeah.
Yeah, she needs to win something. If I can be part of the reason why Suri wins.
Well, she gets so close. She gets so close. Okay. All right. So, Mike, are you ready to move on to the next one?
Let's move on. We are going to the very next season. And we're going to a friend of the podcast, though maybe not friend after we talk about his confessional here. Let's talk about Randy Bailey.
Okay.
Randy has quite a couple considering he was not one to mince words in Survivor Gabon. But during the Merge Tribal Council specifically, when he voted for Crystal, he had a fair play-esque confessional is the way I'll put it.
Okay, this is Randy voting for Crystal. Is this a B word?
Yep, that's all he says. It just moves on.
Yeah, okay. That's tough. It's tricky.
Why was that the one you chose?
I mean, I like that one. I like it. I know people would say it's Randy. That's Randy right there being like, bitch, and then puts it away.
Do you have crystals?
I mean, I have crystals, but that's next.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay.
Okay. All right.
Huh. It's simple.
Succinct.
You know,
you don't like it. Just say it. You don't like it, Liana.
I think that Randy has clever insults, and this is not one of them.
Yeah. Is this ratchet?
I could see it. Should we do it only for the content of having Randy yell at us for making it ratchet?
Well, I don't want to get yelled at by Randy, but...
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Let's just, how about this? Let's have it here in the Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye tier. And just under the... our reasoning is, we think you're better than this, Randy.
Yes, right.
We think you could do better. We think if you apply yourself, there is a choking walrus insult that you can go for.
That being said, I do feel like this is emblematic of Randy a bit, though, right? Again, he was a bit of a grouch to someone like Crystal, as an example. So he is more than happy to just unfold the vote, say bitch, and then put it away. I know that I think probably his more well-known confessional is the this vote isn't strategic, it's simply personal. Mm-hmm. I feel like that was maybe too bit of a shot off of the Rob Zabaknik's
you
thing.
You think that he was riding off of Rob Zabaknik's... Rob Zabaknik had to walk so Randy could run.
What's the opposite of skateboard hitchhiking, where you hang onto the skateboard?
Marty McFly. Yeah. Okay. All right. Are we good? Is Randy here in the bottom tier?
I can hear him now saying, "Fair plays was just F you. You're going to put fair plays in the top tier. You're going to put mine in the bottom tier.
Should we drop fair play down?
I think that's my concern. There's something about the way fair play says you that makes me laugh.
Well, I think the other thing as well is that Randy is still trying to maintain some decorum and like whisper bitch. Mm. Fairplay doesn't care. Fairplay full throatedly says F you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So maybe that's something to remember here. If you're going to go with sort of like the very base insult, then don't whisper it. That's a half measure. You're gonna
say it loud. Say it
yeah.
Proud.
You're gonna curse somebody out. You know, let everybody hear what you're gonna say. And exactly. I think that's a good setup for our next entry.
Save for the people in the back.
Yeah.
Probes tells you it'll never make the air.
People have been biding their time right now. Let's stick up some Crystal, baby. Here is Crystal Cox, the very next tribal council, returning the favor to Randy.
Okay. Here is the legend, Crystal Cox, here.
You have made my life hell from day one. To get you, go home. Goodbye.
That's lovely.
Yeah.
It is immaculate in every sense of the word. It has a stature as tall as Crystal Cox herself, and she ain't getting struck by lightning.
Yeah, watch out for the lightning. Can we hear it one more time?
We have to.
You have made my life hell from day one.
What's the bell? Like, did somebody was Randy reacting? Yeah.
Well, no, it is. So because Crystal obviously does not use her indoor voice here. So there is a prominent reaction of people looking up when they hear Crystal essentially scream from the voting booth, "You have made my life hell from day one."
I'm just not sure why we get the Liberty Bell.
Because it's America.
Crystal crack.
Get you. Go home. Goodbye.
Why did they not have that bell when Haley Ford got voted out both times?
Yeah. They could have.
When she was comparing the Worlds Apart merge to the colonists.
Mm-hmm. All right. Here is Crystal Cox. Leon, you want to weigh in on this?
I mean, this is great. I love this. Smiling the whole time. Forget you. Go home. Goodbye. That's one of the ones that I can quote without having to, you know, to think about this list. So definitely love that.
Okay. Let's take a look at where it is. Okay. Is Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye in the Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye tier?
I mean, as much fun as that would be, I'm going to put it in the exact opposite. Rob, this is my favorite confessional so far.
It's number one.
Number one right now. Sorry, Suri.
Okay. Wow. All right. So I don't need to recuse until it gets down to number three. So, Liana, you stumped for Suri.
Yeah, so this is tough because this is almost like two different axes of professional.
Polar opposites.
Right, because you're talking about something that is, Suri's is strategic. It's all about the move. It's all about the gameplay. And Courtney's is the exact opposite. It's like, you make my life a living hell. Go home.
Crystal.
Yeah. So, right. So, like, that's what makes that's what makes them, they are each iconic in their own way. And it's tough to do the comparison, you know, very mm-hmm. apples versus oranges. But I still think Cerise is better. I think the iconicness of the Eric vote also just adds to the confessional. Like, it's all about that moment, you know?
It's a great moment.
Yes, now, exactly.
Randy getting voted out is an iconic moment in the show.
True.
I would like to add to the discourse that I almost feel like that Crystals is sort of like the perfect encapsulation of what a voting confessional should be. Of like, it's almost like
standard.
You Survivor is you go on the show, you get to write down somebody's name that you don't like on a piece of paper and say, I'm voting you out. Get out of here. I never want to see you again. That is so cathartic, I feel like. That's why people want to go on Survivor, no?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's what the confessional is supposed to be, right? Because it's supposed to be the logic of why you're voting that person out.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
And that's her logic. Grace reviews this as a great excuse to just talk about like her general philosophy, which is epic. But there is something about Crystals that, I mean, it's also, you know, talk about memorability. I think whenever people think about what's one of the best voting confessionals, they always come back to Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye. It breaks the sound barrier to the point where they actually show it prominently. Like, they could have done that, I'm assuming, Rob, during yours, but they really make mention of it here that Crystal does not give an F.
Yeah.
She has F take. That's how many she has to give. And the fact that they show, like, she doesn't care so much. She has so much disregard for Randy in this moment is just, it's incredible.
Yeah.
Yeah. I hear the reasoning. I hear the logic. I think for my own, like personally, if I was doing this just me, I would still put Suri first, but I'm more than happy for Crystals to be number one because I think all of that logic is totally sound.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I like Crystal at number one. I feel like that Suri could just as easily have been a confessional and not even like in a voting booth. And I feel like it would have been the same impact. I mean, she's holding up the vote, but it's not really about Eric. It's more about a plan that came together. Like, that could have been the last confessional you see before they go to tribal council, where Cerise says
it could be the script that pops up before like an inspirational film of like, you can never beat him with this, but you can beat him with this. Cerise field, or like a biography plays.
Yeah, but that could be a tagline for a movie, which is great. It's so inspirational. It's what the Mighty Ducks aspire to be.
It could be the tagline of Survivor: Brains versus Beauty versus Brawn, either edition.
Mm-hmm.
I believe Air Bud, there's a quote from Air Bud, you know, the classic sports movies.
Yeah.
So she's the exact opposite of Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye. She is Remember You, Come Here, Hello.
Okay.
Yeah, go big or go home.
Bad eye.
It's bizarro Crystal. All right. So, Mike, are you ready to talk about our next entry?
All right. Let's go to another big Survivor character in his own right. We got to go with Coach in Token Sheens. And Coach gives many names for himself, but I believe in this confessional, when he is voting off Brendan, that is when he formally coins himself something that we still call him to this day.
Okay. Here is Coach Wade. Okay, the Dragon Slayer is born. Liana, how do you feel about this?
Mm-hmm. Is this the origin story? We're talking about X-Men earlier, right? Is this where it all stems from? This is the lightning that strikes the tree at the top of the hill that spawns the Dragon Slayer, you know? And that has to be something in its favor.
It does seem historically significant, even though the confessional itself is not particularly, you know, OTT or super memorable.
I don't know. I mean, I think it's tough because, to your point, I think in terms of Coach, it's not memorable because Coach is one to tell these prolific, lengthy stories. But I think it's memorable in the sense of confessionals that he is painting a picture right now of the ancient samurai said you had to cut the heads off of dragons, which is a little like weird anachronistic. Like, I'm pretty sure dragons are affiliated with medieval times and samurai are not. I find it weird that maybe there's some sort of time traveling delinquent who brought the dragons and the samurai together for Coach's story here.
Mm-hmm. Mixing genres.
Yeah. Has anybody ever said cut the head off the dragon? Is that,
I don't know, like the Marcus samurai. Aurelius quote or the Iron-headed Jerry Curl. But I mean, this is epic for a number of reasons, because to your point, Rob, that you made at the very beginning of this podcast, you know, Coach was ready to say this. He was building out this whole thing of, I'm going to say that I am the dragon slayer. I'm going to build out this whole narrative that Brendan is the dragon. It doesn't matter what the time period is, because I am the dragon slayer. I'm going to have a dragon cane. I'm going to come up with a band called the Dragons. I'm Dragon Man right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Dragon Man. Okay. So yeah, it's important, I think.
Mm-hmm. It's important. And, you know, also it stays with Coach for so long, right? Like, this is the origin story. And so I think that that's very powerful, you know, and then you get a lot of follow up from that, because I don't know if it's necessarily, I mean, yes, of course you have the Dragon Slayer, but then, you know, when Probst is like questioning him about, oh, didn't you say you wanted to go up against the best? Why am the winner? You know, like, I went up against the best, I beat the best. Is that sort of that whole narrative that falls out after this? So I think this is, I mean, what, this has to be at least in the second to top tier, if not top tier.
I'm thinking at least second to top tier, because I also love how coachy it is, and that it's also like a little mixed up. Again, not even the metaphor, like it's cut the head off the snake, not cut the head off the dragon.
Yeah.
They're reptiles.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, but if I said cut the head off the crocodile, you'd be like, that doesn't sound right.
You know, classic saying.
All right. So here is Coach. Speaking of wildlife, do you like cutting the head of the dragon or choking the walrus?
Well, that's a hell of a would you rather, Big Jeff. Mm-hmm.
Would you rather choke one walrus and be done with them, or keep your current relationship with walruses?
I think that's an amazing race detour.
Mm-hmm. We stay in Chicago. See you later.
Mm-hmm. In Choke the Walrus, you'll have to sleep in the tent with a snoring giant man.
And cut the head off the dragon, you must saw back and forth all the toughest nails to cut the head off a wooden dragon, which is used to adorn the festivals every year here in Mongolia.
Mm-hmm. During the Mongolian movie scene. Mm-hmm. I think this is better than Walrus. I think Dragon beats Walrus here.
Any day of the week.
That's the perfect rock, paper, scissors.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Dragon, walrus, rainbow.
All right. Does dragon beat rainbow?
I kind of think so.
I think so too. Although that really makes walrus, dragon, rainbow game not really work all that well when you have dragon being so OP, but
I guess, mm-hmm, we'll...
Dragon flies over the rainbow. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And what does rainbow defeat? How does rainbow defeat walrus?
Makes it too wet and slippery.
Okay. And then walrus defeats dragon because it's too slippery to get a hold of.
Well, the dragon already defeated the walrus.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
Well, no, it also flies over the rainbow.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. All right.
Beat walrus.
No, I think it stops here. I think Sean's timing helps put it over Coach's right here, because this is Coach granted slaying the dragon, but like you said, Liana, like this is far from the end of Coach's battle.
Yeah. No, Sean's is really, really good. That Coach's, the confessional itself is not memorable. It's more memorable that it's the origin story for sort of the legend of Coach.
Mm-hmm. I will also give extra credit to Aaron, who I believe in voting out Coach at the final five says dragon slayed.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Very right. good.
See, it comes, that narrative comes full, okay. Full rainbow.
All right. Full rainbow. All right. A double rainbow.
Double.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
All right. Mike, what's next?
We're going two seasons ahead, and let's talk about someone who was on Coach or with Coach on the very tribe. No, we're not talking Daniel DiLorenzo. We are talking Sandra Diaz Twine. Here is probably one of the most badass confessionals we're going to get in this installment. This is Sandra voting out Rupert in Survivor Heroes versus Villains.
I'll write your name again, and if I'm up there in the final three, you'll still give me the $1 million vote.
Boom.
And he did.
Yeah.
Pen drop.
Okay. All right, here's Sandra. Any thoughts on the Sandra confessional, Liana?
it's well edited with the music too, right? I think that crescendo right after, it's the foreshadowing of it that I love. I think that it encapsulates Sandra quite well. You know, she's not necessarily burning a hat, but I think that you learn so much. Like if you just played that clip of Sandra's confessional, you learn so much about her as a person just from hearing that clip. And I think that's important.
Yeah. And so obviously Sandra had a number to choose between. I think the other big one in contention from Heroes versus Villains was go into the ocean and wash your ass. But I feel like that's also representative of Sarah. Very, very, very insulting. This is the really fun part of Sandra, of like she calls her shot and it often ends up coming true. Like the reason why this is so highly regarded is because that exact same thing happens of like, I'm going to write your name right down right now. I'm going to play my idol to guarantee you go home. And you're still going to vote for me to win $1 million again.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But without the knowledge of how it's all going to work out, is this as good? Like on a first watch?
I think we can't divorce that from it. You know, we've been talking about how tribal councils play out in incorporation with these. I think it's tough to not incorporate that ending. Because if that ending doesn't happen, then this confessional probably doesn't even get shown, you know?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right. It's part of the whole story. You have to think about it in its totality.
Okay. All right. Well, let's look at the board and let's see where it goes. All right. Not Ratchet, right?
Definitely not Ratchet.
Okay. Better than Scout saying Amy's going to get struck by lightning.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is definitely in At Least My Life Is Fine. And I could maybe even hear an argument. I don't know. I could maybe hear an argument about Worth Playing For, but I might have to bump some others up as well.
Okay. Liana, how are you feeling about it here?
I'm trying to think of if you're going to put Crystals at the top, because, okay, this is what a voting confessional should be. It's like you getting to say something to the person that you're voting out. How does Sandra's fit into that criteria? Because can you play one more time? Does she insult him?
No.
It'd be great if there was an insult.
Mostly
it's a little implicit, I think, of like, I've got you under my thumb so much.
Yeah,
I'm
you're dumb, dumb.
I think you're still going to vote for me. Yeah.
Yeah, here it is.
I'll write your name again, and if I'm up there in the final three, you'll still give me the $1 million vote.
And remember, this also does come after the whole, like, I'm against you, Russell, where, like, she knows that Rupert and Colby are going to be voting for her tonight.
Okay. For me, I feel like that I think this is better than the Walrus. Mm-hmm. I think it's better than the Rainbow. And I could listen to it being better than Coach, but I don't think it's better than Sean.
I could see that as well. Yeah, and I don't know, because I'd also like, I could bump it up, but I also would, to your point, like would bump Sean up as well if that's the case.
Because here's one of my metrics that I use that I think about before I hit the space bar on my Mac here. Do I know what I'm about to hear? And in the case of Sandra, that if you gave me an hour and said, what did Sandra say when she voted out Rupert? I would not have guessed this.
Mm. Yeah, so I wouldn't have guessed it off the top of my head, but it's, you know, I couldn't have guessed it, but if you'd given me the options, I think I would have picked the right one.
Ultimate trivia, and I give you a list.
Four choices.
That's exactly what I was thinking. Yes, exactly. Four
choices.
That I'd have to get the choices.
Certainly,
you know,
there
I'm
are
only
other ones
point,
yeah, where I would have gotten it wrong with four choices.
Right.
Yeah, okay. Like I said, how did Scout describe Amy? I don't think anybody would have guessed me being struck by lightning.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So, Liana, help us talk it through here in this tier.
I think above Rainbow, but below Dragon is probably where I would stick this one
okay.
for me.
All right. Mike, how do you feel about that? I know you thought it could be on the top tier.
I would put it above Dragon at least, because at least, like, I as much as you say, like, well, if we divorce it from the prophetic nature, does it hold any weight? But that's why it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
It's because she ends up doing that. I can't think of any other voting confessional here which stakes a claim so much as Sandra does. And I feel like that.
Wait, did Amy get struck by lightning?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if these are exactly like horoscopes. Sandra's the only one that's an outright horoscope and a vote.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Did Alicia ever go to Boston
and say see you later to anybody?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, or have it said to her? So.
Did Sean ever get chicken and waffles?
Okay. Liana, should it be past Coach?
I'm indifferent, to be honest. I feel like Sean should maybe get moved up a tier. I don't know if we're at that yet.
I'm good with bumping Sean up.
Okay.
Then I'm okay. I feel like there's a separation between Sean's and the rest of them, especially thinking about.
I like this. Now that
we're going through them,
it's making a lot more sense.
Yeah, I think this. Yeah, exactly. It fits.
All right. Let's go back to the well. All right, Mike. What is next?
This is a weird one.
Oh boy.
People may not remember a young man by the name of Benry Henry from Survivor Nicaragua. He is one of the most random characters in Survivor history. He had a lot of strange moments. And one of them comes here at the merge when she votes for Alina.
Yeah. Liana, before I play this clip, do you know what this is?
I think so. You know, the favorite among many Survivor season Nicaragua is, I'm sure, so quotable, but I believe I know what this is.
I definitely know what this is. Okay, here we go.
You are a 100% grade A dirt squirrel, and it's time for you to go home.
Yeah, so that it sounds like there's a little bit like of a rattle that maybe you're thinking that's like part of the score. No, that is a sound that Benry makes, which I guess is the sound of a dirt squirrel.
I mean, it's a man-made sound, to your point.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Of a dirt squirrel.
Okay. This was something that almost 10 years ago we had a lot of discussion about on the podcast. Actually, no, it was 10 years ago that we tried to figure out what is a dirt squirrel. And I don't know if we ever really got the answer, but I don't think it's flattering.
No, I mean, I'm looking on Urban Dictionary right now, and I'll try to keep
that is up. My Bible.
It's a two-legged female that scavenges for nut. And nope, that's a bad one.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. Okay. Good.
Is it related to the rat?
No.
I found another one that says a person who conducts themselves in a trashy manner could be a hygiene issue or a behavior issue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sounds about right.
I think there's other words you could use. Yeah.
I'll remember the first definition that I read.
Okay.
What about like a dirt weasel? Is that worse?
A dirt weasel?
Yeah, I feel like there are other animals that you could stick in there that could be worse.
Or consistency of dirt. Like if you were called a mud squirrel, would that be worse?
Yeah, right, exactly. This is the turf weasel.
Mm. Turf weasel?
Turf weasel sounds like some sort of like garden instrument.
The sod walrus?
The sod walrus.
I'm just mixing and matching here. Okay.
Go for the old sod walrus. Yeah.
Snoring like a sod walrus. Yeah. Okay. I don't know if Alina was a dirt squirrel. I never got any information.
I don't think we know anything about Alina. The only thing we knew, maybe they called her Dirt Squirrel, because wasn't there that whole thing with like her and Nayanka were like hoarding food and they were burying it in the dirt. Maybe that's why he called her Dirt Squirrel.
I don't know why he called her that. We have no reasoning into why he called her that. And Alina was sort of like a purple character in that season. There were a few. And I feel like that was like, oh, wait, who is Alina? Why is she a dirt squirrel?
And also at the same time, it's also, who is Benry? Like, Benry himself was not purple. He certainly had weird moments like, it's Benry time, baby, I think was one of his other voting professionals. But like, this was also another guy where like, he was sort of like the proto sea bass of like, this guy just pops out of nowhere every three episodes, says a weird thing, and then disappears.
Mm-hmm. No Laffy Taffy, but
yeah.
Yeah, and this also, I mean, this is, you're given the opportunity to say something to the person you're voted out. I mean, Benry took advantage of that.
This is Benry's finest hour in Survivor.
This is Benry's only hour on Survivor.
One time then, Benry, this is like maybe in season 22, that he was supposed to be on the podcast. And so we had him, and then he called in to the podcast. I think he was at a Dodger game and he had not watched the episode from the night before. Which is kind of the dirt squirrel move.
In the background while he's being like, yeah, that sounds fun.
Or like he was like leaving a Dodger game. Something like that. Yeah.
Not his finest hour.
Okay. I don't know. Maybe he was out there with a bunch of squirrels. Did you hear it in the background?
No.
The sound effect is important.
Yeah, the Foley work, Dan Foley work is second to none here on Benry's part.
Okay. The dirt squirrel. Are we feeling this or not?
I'm feeling it because again, I sort of
it's
like
memorable.
I like the scout S stuff of like, this is just so odd. And to Benry's point, especially out of nowhere. But I think it really is polarizing as to like, I could see it up high because it is so unique and out of nowhere, but I could also see it down very low because it doesn't have maybe as much like linking up with Benry's character, which is nothing.
Yeah.
It surrounds an iconic moment in Survivor.
Alina getting voted out. Was she the merge vote, Mike?
She was.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. Urban Dictionary really is the go-to source for all things dirt squirrel.
And the definition that I read is much like a dirt squirrel, not very clean whatsoever.
Yeah. Okay. Another definition is facial hair of substandard quality, more specifically around the upper lip and chin, as in Sidney Crosby possessed the best dirt squirrel in the 2008 NHL playoffs.
Wait, so if you have a bad mustache goatee combo, you can be called a dirt squirrel?
No, you have a dirt squirrel.
Okay, so if you have a dirt squirrel, if you have like the Matthew Von Erdfelde like mustache goatee combo.
Yeah. Also, I guess a dirt squirrel could be a man also. A dirt squirrel is a guy who wears loose tank tops with either a beer advertisement or NASCAR on it. Someone who might put Kool-Aid in a baby bottle. One who swears at their kids in public.
I found something. I found a company named Dirt Squirrel.
Is it owned by Benry?
I don't know, but it puts out a lot of underwear.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Another definition is a female that changes boyfriends often. That's a very family friendly way of putting it.
Sort of like the subject of the song No Scrubs would be a dirt squirrel.
Yeah.
I don't want no dirt squirrel.
Bring back the wand off. Yeah. Okay. All right. Anything else on Benry?
I mean, there's so much I could say about
his name was Ben Henry.
His name is Ben Henry. His brother, I believe, is marrying Annalise from Australian Survivor.
Mm-hmm. We should get him back on the podcast. So he's got a lot of stories.
He won't be able to attend a baseball game this time, which, by the way, I will also say, unfortunately, international episodes have been excluded from this. Otherwise, the I'm voting Annalise in Australian Survivor 2017 would definitely be on here.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Mm-hmm. So, all right, Benry, not Ratchet.
No, I definitely think he's at least an ain't no Hershey bar.
Okay.
It's so interesting. Like, it's so weird to me. I kind of want to put it like near or above his fellow weirdo, Greg Buis.
Yeah. So many of these, I do not recall. If you asked me, though, like, woke me up in the middle of the night, I was like, Rob, what did Benry say? Dirt squirrel. Are you choking a walrus? Really, what a walrus is that?
Yeah, I think that definitely adds to it. It's something that I would remember. So I think it's above. Is it in the bottom of My Life is Fine? Is it above that?
I could either see it in the bottom of My Life is Fine or the top of Ain't No Hershey Bar.
I think because it's, I mean, Rob, if you, would you remember the earache or the ear infection?
Yeah, I would not. I did not remember that. I don't know. I kind of feel like that. I'm almost seeing like a different category, or maybe it kicks off another category of maybe it should be ahead of ahead of Courtney and kicking off the very odd insults.
The odd animal insult category.
I like Courtney's more, though, because Courtney's has context. Like, Courtney's hatred of John Robert was evident. And so I feel like this, it has less of the random factor than Benry sort of relies on here.
But I kind of like the random factor part of it. It's such a weird insult.
Mm-hmm.
Also, not only is she a dirt school, she's a 100% grade A dirt school. So, like, she went to dirt
school. FDA certified.
You know, like, as a doctorate, don't write an op-ed about whether Alina should lose that thing. Mm-hmm. She's earned it.
Mm-hmm. And the sound effect, too. Yeah. Don't forget.
Let's listen one more time.
You are a 100% grade A dirt squirrel, and it's time for you to go home.
Do you want to be a grade A dirt squirrel? Like, if you were
like the higher grade you are, the worse you are.
Mike, if I called you a grade B dirt squirrel, would you be more insulted or less insulted?
I would be more insulted because it's like, at least like if it's bad, I still want to be the best at it.
Mm-hmm.
You
mm-hmm.
know, like it's more insulting to be like a lower grade at something that's bad.
Yeah. A for Alina.
Like the USDA grade dirt squirrel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think you want to be a higher grade.
Best in show.
I think the fact that there's more to it, the sound effects, I think it's better than Courtney's.
I agree.
So I think I side with that. I'm overruled here, but I'm fine with that.
Okay, your life is fine. Okay.
Let's keep it in the zoo here.
Okay. Liana, you don't want to put Benry past Amy, right?
I think the weird insults go together.
Okay.
Amy's was clever.
All right. So let's go now to a few seasons later, Mike.
Yeah, we are going to Survivor Philippines, and the short confessionals did not go away with Johnny Fairplay and Randy Bailey. Of course, Jonathan Penner's going to make an appearance here, one of Survivor's all-time greatest narrators. He is someone who knows his time is up. This is his last boot episode ever in Survivor so far, and he's going to let everybody know who he's voting for.
Denise.
Incredible.
I'm happy that you kept in the laughing.
Yeah, lots of snorts also.
Yeah, maybe there's a walrus
like a few
there.
Choking walruses, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but this is the polar Denise. Opposite. Like, it's the exact same intent as Crystal's of like, I don't give an F. But it has the exact opposite reception, which I think also talks about how Crystal and Jonathan were received by their respective seasons.
Mm-hmm. There
yeah.
you go.
This is memorable, stands a test of time.
Yeah. Also, yeah, and that you can't really see it in the clip, but he's also like yelling back, like he's like it was like intentional. Denise,
so it's not even a Crystal thing where it's like I happen to be projecting loudly and the sound kind of pours backwards. He is directing that sound to be like, by the way, I'm voting for Denise.
Also, Mike, does he write denies on the paper?
He does. Yes.
Yeah.
I've been.
I think it might be a Carter vote accidentally, but no, I believe he does like try to send a message with that.
Yeah, it's intentional. Okay. All right. So let's look at Penner and figure out this is going to be a tough one to place, I think.
Yeah, this is going to be a really tough one because it's really memorable. And I think it is so evocative of Penner as a character. But I would say at least that I think Johnny Fairplay's like I think Crystal had the better loud confessional. I think Johnny Fairplay had the better like short and sweet confessional. What this thing has unique to it is this is probably the only time. Because another thing that's part of a voting confessional is you're not supposed to say who you're voting for because someone might hear you. Yeah. Kind of breaks that convention and says, this is who I'm voting for.
I think what this one has that's different is that Penner knows he's going home. Everybody knows that they're going home. So that everybody has to go through the whole charade of the whole song and dance to vote out Penner. They like Penner. He's just not part of the plan. So there's no disdain for Penner. Penner is like, does not happy, but like gets it. So it's weird. It's yelling, but it's not like, I hate you. It's right. Like, USOB.
Yeah. I mean, this is also Penner, right? This is like, he's sarcastic. Even when he knows his time is up, he's still going to go out with a joke. This is also fantastically, you know, when he's whistling the Survivor theme song as he walks off and Jeff Probst does the big shrug afterwards. Like this is part of just the fantastic send off to Jonathan Penner as a Survivor contestant.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, it's a bit in a category of its own, you know, because of all of that. And the fact that he leans over his shoulder to call back to everybody else, right? No one else is doing that. They're solely focused on the camera that they're delivering their message to. He doesn't even seem to care about the camera because clearly his message is not for the camera.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it tough to slot it in here because of all of the uniqueness when it comes to this voting confessional.
Okay. So where should it go? Should he be in Ain't No Hershey Bar?
No, I think he needs to be in At Least My Life Is Fine.
In My Life Is Fine. Okay.
Yeah.
Do we put him past the odd insults?
The animals
and the rainbow.
it's so memorable that I feel like it has to be.
Yeah, I think it has to supersede at least past Amy.
Okay, well, how far does it go? Is it better than Coach?
I think it's better than. Oh, Coaches is so iconic and memorable too.
Oh, is it though? Is it that Coach's legacy? But this is like the end of Penner's legacy. Like Coach's legacy starts in a lot of ways here. Penner's ends. It's the last page of the book for his survivor journey.
Okay, I think it goes in the top tier, and let me tell you why.
Okay.
Because I remember it, I can quote it, and I can tell y'all about it. and what I had to go back. Liana, what did you say at the beginning of the podcast? You said that if you could remember this one and you could talk about it without having to be reminded, then that means that it's top tier. And so I think for that very reason, we have to put it in the top tier, because all of the other ones in the top tier, I could tell you about.
Okay. Mm.
That is a good point. I think that these six right here, I think us three can all quote word for word. Granted, some of them are one or two words. Mm-hmm. Whereas I think that the second tier, people like you could remember, but you might not be able to, you know, get into every single minute syllable that they said.
Yeah.
Or like there, I mean, I think there's sort of two groups within My Life is Fine, because Sandra and Coaches kind of go together and they're part of the larger narrative. They're really impactful when you remember them and you put them within the context of the story. Then we sort of have the clever slash weird insults group there. So that's the striation between all of the groups.
Okay. All right. Good. I'm glad we're seeing some patterns start to emerge here. All right.
I like that.
Mike, who is next? Three left.
Three left. And of course, this would not be a Survivor discussion if we did not include Netflix's new darling, Survivor Cagayan. We are going to the premiere, huge episode, huge moment, as Spencer Bledsoe, soon to be caught up in a blindside against Garrett Adelstein, attempts to vote out Jatia and lets out this little barb.
Okay.
The fact that you're a nuclear engineer is genuinely, genuinely scary.
Fun episode. All right. Spencer voting for Jatia.
Oh, man. Favorite scientist, since Amelia Earhart.
Jatia gets the last laugh. Jatia one sequester win, Spencer zero.
Yeah.
Okay.
So is this in the insult category for you, Liana? Because it's definitely reminiscent of like Amy's comment, right?
And by the way, that I've like been a part of some of these panels that Jatia has. She's very detail oriented. I think that Spencer should rest a little easier at nighttime if Jatia is working on any big nuclear projects.
I trust her.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, I mean, so this is okay. So this definitely falls under that category of you want to say something to the person you're voting out. You don't want them to hear, and you're like, I want to insult this person. I want to let them have it. I'm voting confessional.
One-sided roast. I get to say something to you. You don't get the opportunity to say something back to me because you're hopefully going to be voted out.
I get to my unfiltered opinions of you. Like that's what this is. To the Jatia, to the T.
Okay.
Is it, if I explain it, is that funnier? I know it always works.
A apostrophe T I A. See, I like the insult. I think it's like a genuinely funny one liner, but I do like the other one liners better. Maybe it's because we've gotten to know Jatia afterwards. And to your point, Rob, she's proven to herself to be an extremely intelligent individual. So it almost feels like a bit of a misnomer.
Mm-hmm. So I feel like that it is succinct. It is to the point, and it is like a dig. But I feel like that there's also some humor there, and I feel like I'm hard pressed to find another one on the board that is similar. I feel like that maybe like the Kelly Goldsmith is the closest to this one, but that's more just like here are my feelings about you that I strongly dislike you.
Yeah, and then, well, this is also reminiscent of like Spencer's frustration, right? That he's going to experience over the course of the game is, I don't know whether it's humorous or not, but he tends to sort of have that like, oh, really, like, mm-hmm. sort of like Napoleon Dynamite-esque over-the-top reaction to getting frustrated. So I don't know if this is intentionally humorous or not, or if Spencer really does legitimately feel unsafe that Jatia might have her finger on a button.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he does have that, especially with the cast, 0% chance of winning the game. Exasperative.
Yeah.
Okay. Get a little like Spencer bobblehead when he gets frustrated.
So right. I think he's definitely at least ain't no Hershey bar. Better than you should get struck by lightning on a hill.
Okay, definitely better than Scout. Definitely better than Rob with two B's. I would say better than Kelly because I think his is more succinct than okay. Kelly.
What about Boston Rob versus Spencer?
The things super fans have been waiting for.
So back to the catchphrase of it all. Which one is more of a catchphrase? Boston Rob, see you later.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, I like Spencer's more, though. I would put Spencer up.
All right. Is he better than Greg Buis?
I don't know. I like Greg's reason for voting Jenna off, as strained as they may be, more mm-hmm. than Spencer.
That he had an ear infection. All right, Liana, where do you weigh in on this?
Yeah, I think it stays behind Greg.
Yeah, I can have it ahead of Greg. I'm kind of indifferent on this tier. What order you want to have these ones in?
No, same. Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go to two more to go here. All right. We got a heavy hitter coming out, Mike.
Mm-hmm. This is, for that point, if we don't have many modern day voting confessionals that hold their weight, I give you Wendell Holland in the Merge episode of Survivor Ghost Island voting off Chris Noble. Let all 30 seconds of bliss play out here, Rob.
Here we go.
We won a lot together. Respect for that. But socially, you don't know what you're doing. I hope you stop saying I so much. I hope you start listening to people. Oh yeah, and finally, somebody had to say it. I'll say it. Stop rapping. You're trash. At rap. You're garbage at rap. You can't rap. You have no bars. Put the mic down, bro. Put the pen down, bro. Use an eraser.
Oh man,
it's great.
You could pen a whole dissertation about it, but I'd say put the pen down.
Yeah, put the pen down.
No bars.
Interesting. I kind of feel like he does like the reverse Sean Rector of that. He starts with the insults and then where Sean is gonna build him up at the end.
We won a lot together. Appreciate that.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Right. Stop saying I so much. That's more of a constructive criticism. That's not mm-hmm. really could
and
be.
And then he's
going
to drop the hammer as opposed to like, hey, right. we're still good. We're going to get chicken and waffles at the end of this.
And then drop the hammer and the mic.
The fact that he's like, he gives his insult, starts to turn away, turns back and is like, no, I'm not done. Let me continue to insult your rapping ability. Mm-hmm. That is also very important to this confessional.
So that to me is the je ne sais quoi of Wendell's confessional, is that the editing or lack thereof is poetry of him. Like you said, ordinarily, it's you say your thing, you put the vote down. He has a second thought upon folding his vote and saying, and he has to formally unfold the vote and be like, I need to continue talking. This is the talking mm-hmm. paper. I can't talk unless I'm holding the paper.
Yeah. I think it's also has the similarity to the voting confessional mine, which was also like a merge vote, where it's another one of mm-hmm. these jailbreak type votes where everybody's voting for Chris Noble. The show is telling you everybody is voting for Chris Noble. So I don't know if that has anything else to do with like showing you a like long confessional that's really dunking on somebody. But I think mm-hmm. that, just tonally, it also fits.
Mm-hmm. Well, so something that I really enjoyed about Wendell's confessional, and it is no offense to you, Rob, or people like Johnny Fairplay, who clearly come in, planning to say something. This is entirely improvisational. In my opinion, you could tell when he's like when he repeats himself of like, you have no bars, you're trash at rapping, that Wendell is speaking off the cuff. he is unhinged at this point, and he is just foaming at the mouth that I finally get to vote this guy, Chris Noble, out, and I want to say something. Yeah. And I find that so endearing.
It's out of character.
That's the other thing as well, is that he's a calm and composed guy, except for the don't get him started about Chris Noble's rapping, because then he'll talk your ear off for 15 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
I think then also you follow this up, if we're putting it within the larger context of Ghost Island, with the Chris Noble Ponderosa video, which is him rapping.
It goes right to rapping.
I have that MP3 saved somewhere because I think they took it down. And I was
had he taken a page from like the Crystal Cox or Penner book and been like, hey, stop rapping also.
I don't know. I feel like Chris Noble, knowing Chris Noble as a person, he'd be like, I'm going to do it more, you know?
Mm-hmm. Also, Chris Noble gets voted out with an idol that was usable for, I believe, only two tribal councils also.
Yep. Mature on Ghost Island.
And he did not. I forget. Did he not have a vote? I can't remember. I think he kept going until he couldn't have a vote.
I think he couldn't have a vote. Yeah.
I think he only ended up ever voting.
Yeah, I think he didn't have a vote.
I don't think he ever ended up voting in Survivor. Maybe I'm wrong, though.
All right. So let's look at Wendell here. And so are we starting Wendell on Worth Playing For?
Yeah, I think so. This is iconic in every sense of the word. I mean, you might say it's a bit of recency bias, but this is incredibly memorable in so many ways. Like you said, it cuts against the modern way that Survivor is done in both not really showing editing confessionals and having this go on for a long time. It shows Wendell's character. It is insulting. It is free-flowing, and it is hysterical. It checks so many boxes for me.
Okay. All right. So, Wendell, better than Penner?
Yeah, I mean, I would go so far as to say I think this is at least top three.
So, yeah, okay. So, I was going to say, I think this at least has to go near or above Rob's because of the point of, like, well, this is sort of the natural successor to the Rob confessional, of that it's longer, it is about the dunking on this person after it's all about Chris Noble, Chris Noble's downfall, him like leading, wasn't he like the mama duck, like leading all the little ducklings, and then
he let everybody but Wendell and Dom into the jungle to plan to vote out Dominic,
right, and then they go ahead and flip it on him, so it's very poetic. Now, oh my gosh, where does this, it's so hard, it's so different, they're all so different.
The top three is really tough. I personally would still put Crystal number one because I think that Crystal's length helps. Like, Crystal does not have a warm-up introduction where she says, Randy, you're a great guy, I liked our time together on Fong. She comes shot out of a cannon the entire time. I think Wendell's lead up, while maybe necessary, I think unfortunately puts it below at least Crystal from my perspective.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But let's just talk about Suri and Wendell. Okay. Liana, do you feel strongly about Wendell moving past Suri?
Wendell's is more quotable. I've definitely quoted Wendell's more. Suri's is more strategically and emotionally impactful, but I'm here for the humor of Wendell's. So I think ultimately Wendell beats Suri.
Okay. I mean, I have stake in Wendell's. Once upon a time, Wendell's quote was used in one of the tattoo ideas that happened earlier this year. So the chance that it could have been inked on my skin, and in fact,
put the mic down.
There is a microphone that I think represents that. So I guess Wendell's, you know, has an impact on me in many ways.
All right. Yeah. So are we debating Wendell versus Crystal for the top spot?
These top two are so quotable. Mm-hmm. I feel like Wendell's does, for me, have a little bit of the recency bias. So I don't want that to get in the way because I've probably quoted Wendell's more often. But rehearing Crystal's, I'm like, oh, yeah, I could use this.
Yeah, personally, I'm going to give it to Crystal. I think the length of time benefits Crystal. I think the fervor with which Crystal pursues Randy, like these are both, again, like Liana said, contestants who are like, I hate this person. And I'm finally getting out the opportunity to get something out that's been under my skin. But I think the emotion behind Crystal's is much more palpable than Wendell's and even more enjoyable to watch.
Mm-hmm. And plus, nobody talks about the beginning of Wendell's. You know, it's like, okay, yeah, you had a great line in your story, but it was very long.
Yeah.
It's too long. Stop saying I so much.
I think that the crystal one, I think I would give it the edge just because of it's tighter.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yep. Okay. She workshopped it. Whereas again, Wendell seems much more free flowing, trying to figure stuff out, maybe going through his own bars in that perspective, but still extremely iconic in its own way, especially for modern Survivor.
Okay. We're splitting hairs. We're splitting bars here.
Yes. Okay. I mean, this is like the cream of the crop. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Let's go ahead and look at our last one, Mike.
Last one. Now, I would wager to say that I think Wendell's spot is okay right now. It's still going to be a strong one because we're finishing off with a little bomb in the form of a little Natalie napalm. This is from the very next season, Survivor David versus Goliath. Natalie Cole has some words for Jeremy when she votes him out in episode 3.
You talked that brother-sister love stuff, and you showed me no love. So that stinging sensation you feel in your eyes right now, that's a Natalie napalm. Get off of my island. By the way, your skin is gorgeous, darling.
Yeah. Okay. That's, you know, the Sean Rector, you know, okay.
It's like an open face compliment sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Does also turns back a little bit, right? I think there.
Close it up with like something nice at the end. Okay. All right. That's the Natalie napalm. Get off my island.
That stinging sensation in your eyes.
That's a really good one.
That's a good one.
It's a really fun one. And it's also reminiscent of who Natalie Cole is and that she's like confident. You know, she's very, you know, she's very image enhancing with her words. But she also closes with like a compliment as well, too.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And whether or not it was thought out beforehand or she came up with it on the fly, like, I don't care. It's very well written. Right. It's very, it all comes together. It's cohesive. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And it does really paint a picture.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's very clever.
OK. All right.
I mean, it's literally a weaponizing voting confessional. She is saying, I just bombed you.
The alliteration is wonderful.
Natalie napalm. I love
it. The other thing, too, you're talking about all the way back, Liana, to the T-shirt catchphrase. Like, she created her own slogan with Natalie napalm.
Mm-hmm.
It's great. All right. So is it in My Life is Fine? Do you want to start it there?
I think at least in My Life is Fine. I think it's very well constructed. I guess the question is, I mean, we have the Amy, Benry, Courtney trio that, you know, are flat out insults. Natalie is insulting, but with a random compliment at the end. Which has more weight here?
Natalie,
like, does the compliment help or hurt the confessional overall?
I think it helps it. I feel like that it speaks to her character of that, you know, that she can, she never like gets mad. She's like a very like flat and like she's going to insult you in the same tone that she's going to then also say something nice about you in the same tone.
Yes, she is straightforward, positively and negatively straightforward.
She may not have heard of boogers in your teeth, but she has heard about nice skin.
Mm-hmm.
I would say I might have it at the top of this tier. What do you think? Is that crazy talk?
I don't know. Sandra's is just so epic for me, and Coach's is so historical that I feel like those bear more weight to me than Natalie's right now. Like, Natalie's is great, but those were slightly more important.
How do you feel, Liana?
I think it's tough because we've been talking within the context of the larger season for most of these, whereas Natalie's, yes, you can put it within that context, but just the confessional itself is so fabulous. Whereas Sandra's needs the rest of the season, you know, Coach's needs the rest of the season. Natalie's could be a standalone confessional. And I think that that's a point in her favor. I don't think it's up and worth playing for, but I do kind of like it at the top of My Life is Fine.
Mike, how do you feel about
I'm not a fan of it. Like, again, you say that, Natalie is fine on her own, but that's not exactly what we're talking about here. We're talking about the whole package. And I think that Well, Natalie's is certainly incredible. I mean, that's why it's so far up here. I think these two are just so legendary in their own right, to the point where I think the only reason why they're not in Worth Playing For is because they don't have that like joie de vivre that those top whatever seven do.
Can I ask the chat, Sandra or Natalie, if they could type in that word into the chat and see? Let's just take a little bit of a census of what should be, just to get it. Doesn't mean we're going to go with it. Just to get a sense. Mm-hmm, just to get a sense of what's going on there.
Yeah, I think this is where the different criteria also that you're judging on comes into play.
Mike, do you have a problem with it being ahead of Coach?
I definitely think I could be swayed to have it ahead of Coach, but I feel like below Sandra, because again, Sandra's, it's so unique. She's the only person to call their shot in a voting confessional and for it to actually happen. That is remarkable. It might not be funny or insulting, but it's just absolutely unbelievable.
Okay. The chat seems so far more Sandra. Than Natalie.
I'm seeing a lot of Sandra.
Okay. All right.
I'm fine with putting Natalie in front of Coach.
All right. So Sandra, then Natalie, then Coach is what we're looking at. And that's the end of what we have here. So now it's time to let's wind it back and let's take a look at our tiers and see if there's some changes that we want to make. Right now, Randy Bailey is the only person that is in Forget You, Go Home, Goodbye.
Let's give Randy a friend here.
Yeah.
Let's give him Scout.
Okay. Leon, how do you feel about that? Is it funnier that Randy is by himself alone on this island?
I kind of like that Randy is
No. Smell that.
There's some hilarity to that. Scouts, though, is very different from Rob's, though. Like, I'm even just sort of
Rob's
thinking.
Back here's, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Rob B is BB's. So I'm just trying to put this like
Rob B and B.
Yeah. Yeah, you should have added a general quote here so we could add all the Robs.
Wait, so why do you want to give Randy a friend, Mike?
I just feel bad.
Feel bad? Mike,
you're Mr. Like List.
Yeah, come on.
I'm Mr. List. Is that my new nickname?
It's one of them.
Fart Chancellor, no. Mr. List.
Mm-hmm. No. Yeah. Mm-mm. Yes.
All right. You know what? I'm good putting Randy on his own here.
Yes. I think he would like that. Okay, he's out on his own. Tribe of
now
one.
People can just say, like, Randy, you should listen to this podcast. You're on a tier of your own.
I think he'd be more insulted to know that he was on a tier with Scout.
Mm-hmm. He has kind of Big Jillian energy.
Bummer. Okay. All right. Ain't No Hershey Bar right now has the from top to bottom, Greg voting for Jenna, Spencer voting for Jatia, Boston Rob voting for Alicia. We have Kelly Goldsmith voting for Lex. Rob with two B's voting for Sheehan. And we have where Scout is voting for Amy.
Is there any, Liana, that you feel like we should move up or down here? Because I'm assuming, I don't think we want to move any out of this tier.
Yeah, I'm you know, similar to Rob. I think I'm the Rob here with us today. I'm sort of indifferent on the rankings within this. I think Scout at the bottom for sure. But other than that, if there's a little bit of movement, I'm open to it. I don't feel super strongly.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, it's interesting because I like the actual like Rob with two B's voting confessional more than Kelly's. But Kelly's also has that unique quality to it. So I think I'm okay with where it is right now.
Okay. All right. We go to My Life is Fine, has six confessionals, starting with Sandra voting out Rupert, calling her shot that he will then vote for her. Natalie Napalm, Coach becomes the Dragon Slayer. Amy says that Scout is not part of the rainbow. Then Benry, Dirt Squirrels, Alina, and then Courtney compares John Robert to someone choking a walrus when he sleeps.
Yeah, the only one I could possibly see is switching Benry and Amy, but I'm not entirely sold on that one way or the other.
I think the animal insults have to go together.
Okay, well, more like Noah here. We're keeping animals two by two.
Keep the animals two by two. All right. Then in our top tier, we have our biggest top tier that we've ever had on our Without Playout list. We go from 7 to 1. Penner shouts, Denise.
Oh, Penner's voted out at seventh again.
Yes, he's always a seventh place finisher. We have Sean Rector voting for John. We have Johnny Fairplay voting for Sean Cohen. Rob C. votes for Roger Sexton. Then Suri votes off Eric. Wendell votes off Chris Noble. And then we have the great Crystal Cox voting for Randy. So Randy really is at the, he's getting voted out in the number one spot, and then he's also the bottom spot.
I love this, the alpha and the omega. It all revolves around Randy Bailey.
Mm. Yeah,
it starts with Randy.
Okay.
It begins with Randy. Okay. I like this.
Yes.
Yeah, I like this. Suri in third is tough, but at least there was no advantage get in this time.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm very good with this. I think this is
a great job.
I think this makes a lot of sense to me. I can sleep easy now and sound like I'm choking a walrus.
Okay. So here's what I would like to know. Based on what we have here today, could we, almost like an artificial intelligence, could we sort of like come up with a couple of rules that would be handy for a Survivor player if you are going into a season, if you are playing in a college Survivor game, when you are going to do your voting confessional? What's the equation for a great Survivor voting confessional?
Number one criteria across the board here is insult. You do not want to talk up somebody being like, oh, it was so great playing the game with you. I'm so sorry this had to happen. You need to get right into that.
We didn't have one of those on our list.
No, I'm sorry. If you said I'm sorry, you're doing it wrong. Right? Like, that's a mistake. I think short and sweet. Insult, short and sweet. If it's going to be long, you better have a plan and it better be iconic. Right? Because even though we do have two long confessionals, they're iconic.
Yeah. Liana, would you say that the insult also should be colorful and specific?
Mm.
Colorful and specific. It should involve an animal if possible. Mm-hmm. I think that's something to consider. It doesn't have to, but it can. Alliteration is also beneficial.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think volume, the louder, the better.
Louder, the better.
I think, look,
depends on the situation.
I mean, look at Crystal, look at Penner, look at Fairplay, look at Rob Cesternino. They're all up here at the top where volume was not a concern.
Yeah.
So that's a good point.
Okay. What about from Sean Rector's, should we get a movie or TV quote in there?
Yes, but incorporate it into either your gameplay or somebody else's.
Mm-hmm.
Don't just say hasta la vista, baby, unless you're Boston Rob going through many types of different languages.
Right.
But find something that applies to you and you can co-opt it so it doesn't just sound forced in.
So, and learn a lesson from me in terms of song lyrics or a quote. If it's something that they may need to get clearance for, that clearance may be temporary.
Yeah, I was going to say the copyright infringement is big here. You know, you got to really be careful with what you
have
to
make
with.
Sure. Right. If it's a parody, it's to the Winners at War song.
Right.
Or it's public domain.
Yeah. To infinity and beyond. Who knows? That's going to be a discussion. If they got to talk to the lawyers, then could not make the show.
Yeah. Do you think you should ask production before to clear it, or do you
ask for forgiveness?
Ask for forgiveness.
Definitely the insult, though. I mean, Cerise is really the black sheep here of them, and I think that's because, you know, there's so much that is great about this, but that is really the rarity. You know, the if we're talking about uncut gems, this is still buried in the earth. Like, that one's tough to find. Otherwise, go something short, sweet, insult. That's going to be a winner.
Mm-hmm. And don't be afraid to break conventions, too.
Yeah.
Like, if you swear, if you're yelling the person's name to get them to laugh, like, don't be afraid to go past the pomp and circumstance of going up there, writing the name down, and then putting it back in the urn.
Yeah. It is a minor miracle that I didn't do, like, a no soup for you in a voting confessional.
I think you just didn't want to talk about soup because you were so hungry.
Maybe not talking about food. Yeah, but that would be a good one. I think that something like that, I think, would be okay.
Oh, you mean in terms of getting the rights? You think that
I think a quote from something was probably okay, more so than like, you know, something that's a tagline.
Right, exactly. Nobody's going to put like a trademark on what you're talking about, Willis, you know?
I would not do going unless somebody was named Willis and you were voting them out. Like,
here's what I'm talking about, Willis.
Yeah, that would be a good one.
What about Urkel? You know, did I do that?
Yeah, mm-hmm. Cheese. That. Yeah,
yeah.
So, all right. I think this is good. Keep it short. Yeah. Keep it colorful. Go for the insult. Swing for the fences.
Mm-hmm. Really?
Go for it.
And that's what we want our Survivor players to do in general.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. All right. Any other thoughts on this list?
I mean, so, you know, to put our cards out on the table, this is going to be the last Outlist podcast we're going to be doing in 2020. But I actually find it, you know, rather fitting that we are bidding adieu to the year in one way that we felt certainly a lot of emotions about by talking about all the times contestants said goodbye to one another.
No, this is how we have to close the show. Could we all give our voting confessional to 2020?
Oh, man.
Oh, man. Do I have a... Let me get a notebook out.
Okay. All right. Let me give you a second to think about that.
Oh my God.
Let me just tell you a little bit about what else is going on here on Rob as a podcast as take a second to deliberate. Of course, with a ton of great stuff. I mentioned the Talking with T-Bird with Cindy Hall and Mindy Hall. That is one I'm telling you. You're like, wait, what is this? Wasn't she just on the show? Trust me, this weekend you're gonna put it on at some point and you're gonna say, wait, I don't want to turn this off. Okay, that is a captivating story from Cindy Hall. Of course, Mike, Jessica, Lisa, and I talked about the finale of The Amazing Race 32. We had exit interviews with the final three. Those are all up right now, plus the Tar Pit coming up this weekend. So if you have a question for us, you can email it to the show, amazingrace@robhasawebsite.com. And of course, Brian and Allie are back with coverage of The Challenge Free Agents, episode number 2. Check that out as well at robhasawebsite.com. All right. Mike, are you ready? Are you up to vote?
All right. I'll come up to vote here. Let's see if this works, incorporating our stuff here. 2020, the year that was so not nice, it's like we lived through it twice. Do yourself a favor. Find a murder hornet and get stung. Please, baby.
Oh, my God. That's fabulous. Oh, I can't believe it.
Okay.
Okay. I've wanted to do this since the third month of the year. You are garbage. You are a certified grade A turf walrus. Get out of here. You're gone. See you later.
2020, you're a clown. You're the worst year I've ever seen. No soup for you.
There we go. Came back around.
Circle.
Could be like no snaps for you. Some sort of like, what's modern day soup?
Modern day soup.
Gazpacho.
Yeah, I don't know.
Cold soup.
All right. There you go. Wow. We did it.
Incredible. Yes. Incredible.
Also, if you start listening to this podcast at about 9:38 on New Year's Eve,
You can
vote out 2020.
2021 by us voting out 2020.
There you go. All right. Liana, busy weekend for you.
Yes, this is quite the busy weekend. So Puya and I wrapped up The Masked Singer. That has also finished. So we talked about the finale and that was very enjoyable. So look out for that in The Masked Singer feed. And then I am also going to be on Renap, continuing the holiday spirit. Mm-hmm. We're going to be watching the Star Wars holiday special. And I believe I will be giving a proclamation at some point during that podcast.
Yeah.
It's gonna be one for the ages.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, we know you hate tower-based shenanigans. We were thinking of you the other night.
We didn't make it too many tiers in this, Liana. We wanted to make sure they didn't go tower-like.
Only four layers. That's I can handle that. A four-story building. Yes. No tower-related shenanigans for me. We will see. I actually think Penner starred, according to the RenatBot's idea, Penner and Sarah Jessica Parker starred in the Star Wars holiday special, according to the RenatBot. So it somehow ties in here.
Denise.
Yeah. Leia.
Yeah.
I don't really know what Life Day is, but I'm about to find out.
I'd like my lightsaber back, please.
All right. Mike, what do you got going on?
So as Rob said, you know, we're still finishing up the Amazing Race season. I had interviews with the final three teams, which were all great at parade.com. But we're still finishing up with the Tar Pits. Of course, over on Post Show Recaps, I'm finishing up coverage of Star Trek Discovery season 3 with Jessica Leese, as well as going down the hatch with Josh Wigler. We are nearly at the end of season 3, and nobody is telling 2020 we have to go back. So we're just going to keep going forward with that. And, you know, Rob, you and I are not particularly done doing away with 2020. There might be an opportunity in the next week for us to pontificate on some of the more notable figures from the past year with our good friend Brant Steele.
Yes. Okay. 2020 breakout stars of 2020 are in your future in one more Brant Steele to close out the year. As we say, no soup for you to 2020. One last time.
And in 2020, the year that seemed a bit like a Brant Steele.
Yes. All right. This was so much fun. I think we got a great list. Very productive. So thank you both for that. And thanks everybody who checked us out live and listen to the podcast. Of course, we have much more this weekend. So make sure you stay subscribed to the podcast. robhasawebsite.com/iTunes. Anything else? Our work here is done. Okay.
As we stay here in RHAP. See you later.
See you later.
Yeah. And forget you. Go home. Goodbye.